Blog Talk Radio.
I think the most important question that I ask myself and that you can ask yourself is why. And I wanted to find out what was going on. So I began to change. I began to examine everything. We saw the hospital system was killing our people because we understood that we were in a war. And I want to emphasize that to you. We are in a war. And we decided that we were not going to go in debt because the new form of slavery was economic slavery. Came to us and said, we're going to free you. We're going to emancipate you from the plantation. What they did was extended the boundaries of the plantation and made it an international plantation. Made us think that we were free. So there are two things in operation. We are in an international prison. Not just in America, but everywhere we go, our people are dying. People want to kill us. I want you to understand that. They want to kill you. And it has nothing to do with what the kind of degree you have, what kind of car you have, what kind of title you have, what fraternity you belong to, what religion you belong to. They want to kill you because that is part of their plan. But I know that's what they want to do. And they want to do it in many different ways. Psychological, economic, cultural, spiritual, social, and biological, chemical, electromagnetic. They want to kill you. But they also want to make money in the process of your death. If they don't come out right and kill us straight, they want to get us to kill ourselves. Now, I saw a brother when I was coming and he was smoking a cigarette. So now he's going to kill himself, but they're going to make money off of his death process. Thing is that there's only one nigger on the planet. I never use that word. This is the first time I've used it. I don't even think that word. But there's only one nigger on the planet. And the nigger that's on the planet is the one that is destroying the water, the one that's polluting the air, the one that is exploiting people and resources. Now, what we have to do is we have to devise a system or a plan for ourselves. And I said earlier that each one of you is a system. And everything that you do, every thought that you think, either you are supporting white world terror domination by your actions, what you buy, what you wear, where you go, what you eat, how you use your time, you are either supporting their process of death or you're for African liberation. It's one or the other. And if we don't use our time wisely, then we are engaging in a form of subtle suicide. Because as I said earlier, their system is still going on. They still have these images on TV that are going on. They're still warehousing our children in the special ed, giving them Ritalin. There's no jobs. We're filling the hospitals. So their system is not stopping. And then finally, I want to say that we need one idea. And we're not thinking about a solution to the problem. We're dealing with all these other things, but these are diversions from the solution to the problem. And we have to start to think about a solution to the problem so that these young brothers and sisters who are here now, who are 15, 16, and 17, are not here 25 years later talking about the same problem because they have retina scans, they have what they call racial profiling, DNA bank, and they're monitoring our people to try to prevent the one person from coming up with the one idea. But I'm saying to you that we need to solve this problem because they are going to kill us.
Rick, what does population stabilization mean and how do you seek to enforce that?
Well, we're not the epitomes of Malta, as some would have you believe, but the world population is a concern. The Associated Press just has an article today saying that the world population is going to reach 7 billion people by the year 2012, or 6.7 billion.
Okay, so what do you propose? I'm going to go back to the basics here, because I'm just going to, like, let you carry on with this crazy idea that people are bad and we should have fewer of them, because I actually like people. I want to have more people. But let's say you're right, okay?
Sure.
How do you enforce your worldview? Is this an international body that somehow mandates population growth? I mean, China's trying that with its one-child policy, and then after the big natural disaster there, they're going, oh, maybe this isn't such a good idea after all. We're going to lose population.
Our concern is about American population growth and, of course, California. The 37 million people in California today are going to be 60 million people in the next 2 to 3 decades.
No, you have no idea.
So,
Rick, I can't do this.
So,
you're driving me crazy. You're driving me crazy.
Our
do
idea
you
is
have a plan, Rick? No, you're spouting off things from an office in California. This is my question. You're saying something very controversial here, and I hope people understand what you're saying. You think there should be fewer people in the United States. I'm trying to figure out which people are the undesirable. I don't want people to be killed either.
We don't use the word undesirable.
Okay, well, you and I agree about illegal immigration. Okay, we agree on one thing, that we need to enforce our borders, enforce our laws. But you go from that to saying, you know, population stabilization, which sounds a lot like population control, which sounds a lot but like this crazy alarmism in the population bomb. I think that wasn't that the book in the 70s? All their predictions turned out to be completely ridiculous.
To understand that overpopulation decreases standards of living. We have problems
standards
with healthcare,
living,
education.
Standards of living is increasing around the world. People are living longer around the world, Rick. The population, yeah, is going up, but we actually also have people who are being born who come up with cures for diseases, who innovate, who become entrepreneurs, and become, you know, wonderful, loving people who pass down a culture to the next generation. Why are you focusing on the borders, though? If it's overpopulation, why does the borders even come into it? It's across the board. It's
because
white, brown, and black, right? Or is it just brown-skinned people you don't think should be born?
The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, from cities and so forth, they don't know anything about this.
You pay the search engine. Okay. Shalom, everyone. Welcome back.
Hello.
Is that Steve? Hello?
Staring right at 2080, as if mankind's atrocity to man has no history. But just a glance at life in 2000 BC, we find traces of man's inhumanity to man. There's no mystery.
Okay. Welcome everyone to another edition of the Search Engine International. I'm your host, Brother Gaja, doing it for the next 2.5-3 hours. Well, 3.5 hours more or less. Alright, I'd like to say first, all praises to the Most High that we're here another week to do this, to bring the show to you. And you know, it's been a blessed day. Just coming off a Sabbath today. And you know, I want to say hello to everyone out there who's tuning in from the US, from the UK, from parts of the Caribbean. Those of you who were here last week, you saw us go into the show with Steve Rasmussen from the US, who is a pagan. We asked Steve if he could come back on the show today, so that you know, we could bring him in. We could you know, answer some questions that we never get to answer last week. So for those of you who are here and you have any questions to put to Steve Rasmussen, you could just hit one. On a summary, we were talking about paganism last week. So we're gonna go into it. Let me introduce Elder Rakar. Elder Rakar, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, brother?
I'm good enough, brother, man. I'm good. I'm really good. Just, you know, coming in off the Sabbath and, you know, happy that I'm here another week again, to do this. The show that we did last week was inspirational to a lot of people. I received a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls came in, you know, people asking me when we're going to have another show like this again. And you know, the feedback was really good.
Yeah, all praise be to the Most High, higher. Everything went well, and I want to say blessed day of the Day of Atonement for all the brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth who's observing the high holy day of the Atonement. Christ is our Atonement, Yeshaya. His blood was sacrificed for our sins, and we praise the Most High, higher, for sending His Son. And we praise we thank Yeshaya for sacrificing himself for the truth.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Father, man. I mean, I wanted to just read a quick couple of verses before we actually brought Steve in. And from the book of Psalms, I'm in the first chapter, and I'm starting from the first verse. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Most High, and in his laws doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Most High knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know, I was meditating on these scriptures today. I said I wanted to read them today before we go forward with the show. At this point, I'm going to bring in Steve Rasmussen. I keep pronouncing the name incorrect. Steve, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, marry me. Yeah, and that's close enough. It's Rasmussen. I'm really glad to be back. Thank you very much.
All right, man. You know, I hope you had a good week. And you know, I think we're just gonna go into it. Coming off the back end of the show last week, we had a lot of brothers and sisters that wanted to get some questions in. I received an email before with some questions in it, and I'm gonna ask some of the questions on behalf of a few of the brothers and sisters as well. Elder Rakar.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah, man. Anything you want to add?
Yes. First off, because I know we have newer listeners who came in who wasn't in for last week, I wanted to do a recap. I got a few questions that I want to go into, but I had a lot to lot of time to reflect on that particular broadcast. And, of course, Steve probably would have known after the broadcast even more questions were raised. But I wanted to have a recap on a few things and just to make sure just a few things that were poignant points that was made that to make sure we're on one accord. There's a few things that, based on what we believe, we pointed out as some serious points of attention, Steve. And I wanted to do a recap. Okay, first of all, I wanted to say for the brothers and sisters out there that we had a pagan high priest on. He's here today, and I thank him for his presence, Steve Rasmussen. Did I say your name correct?
That's right, yeah. And I'm the high priest of the Wiccan Coven Oldenwild, which is Oldenwilde, for anyone who wants to look it up online. We, by the way, I just want to add that it was, I got the same feedback. It was very popular with quite a few of the pagans who tuned in and listened too, and we've getting a lot of people putting the archive.
Great.
Definitely a lot of positive feedback.
Well, I would like to say this. First and foremost, you know, What's good about this dialogue is that we're on the separate end of the spectrum, but we're able to dialogue in total respect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to disrespect anyone. You know, we can adamantly disagree, but bring forth the information so the world can see all aspects and understand. Then make a conscious decision on what to deal with going forward. That's the best way to go about it. But I wanted to roll a recap just so I can make sure we're on the same accord on a few of these points. I couldn't write down all the points, but a few things jumped out at me, if you don't mind me rolling these down. There's only about four or five of them. You came on and confirmed that Christian holidays have pagan origin, right? That's one thing
we
wanted to put out there.
That's right. In fact, we just celebrated Harvest Home, which was the fall equinox. Some people call it Mabon, but it was just this last Saturday or Friday, depending on which calendar you use. And so that could be cited as an example of another one, because it's a celebration of the harvest and thanks to the gods for bringing it to us.
Okay.
So yeah,
all right.
But we talked about Easter and Christmas, and how tied in Christmas is with Saturnalia, Easter with the old solar holidays, the dawn of the year, spring. So yeah, without trying to get into too many details, that's right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we put that out there so that everyone will know who are Christians. One key point that we brought out is the fact that Christians stand up and want to go against certain things, and not that I agree with what you're dealing with, but the whole deal is, how can they go against pagans when all of their holidays, Christmas, Easter, even Sunday worship, is pagan origin? Even before Christ, these days were worshipped by pagans. Am I correct in that statement? Just to
most of them are tied to pagan seasonal celebrations that we still celebrate and still hold holy. And often the meanings, when you dig beneath, are very similar too, because they're tied into what we call the wheel of the year, the turning of the earth around the sun. But yeah, go on. I don't want to get too far off. I know we have a lot of questions, so
we're going to hit them all, but I just want to make sure I get this whole recap out of the way here.
Yeah.
Okay, the next point, to make sure we have that. Okay, let me see. I have it here just to make sure I didn't lose anything, because I actually went back over the broadcast. That you did mention that through one of your pagan rituals, you actually called down and seen the horn god.
Yes, and I'm, not the only one, obviously. I did... Yeah, it was a very moving, very deep heartfelt experience, and I remember every second of it. So yeah, it was
okay.
It was something I did describe.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening before I make a point of that. Go ahead.
Well, just and I also explained how the Horn God has been such a widely popular and universal deity in so many cultures that he's the spirit of nature and wilderness, and essentially, although he's really far deeper and older than even this earth, was the impression that I get from him. But that early Christians demonized him, combined his image with that of their devil, which we pagans don't believe in and don't really have any experience of in our dealings with the divine. That's how you end up with the picture you see of the devil with the horns and the pitchfork and whatnot. Oh, and the hooves.
Well, we don't, We understand how media have portrayed things, but one thing this do brings to light is the fact that, of course, you understand if you're calling out on gods, that the majority of people on the other side of the spectrum going to say, okay, you have done a satanic ritual calling down Satan. You can understand.
500 years ago, I would have been burned at the stake for talking about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
all right. Just to make a point.
5,000 years ago, nothing big deal.
We just put it out there just to make sure. Okay.
Witches and pagans, we're well aware of the stereotypes that people tend to put us into because they don't necessarily. Well, we feel that often they haven't had the experience we've had, and so it's difficult for them to understand it without putting it into the things they've been taught, kind of the boxes they've been taught to keep in their minds.
Well, you can look at that from both sides. I mean, I'm sure they'll say the same thing on their side. But let's go to the next point.
Yeah, that's another one we could talk about all night.
Let's go to the next point because there's a lot of things we're going to hit on that. That's why I'm trying to set this up to make sure I'm not making something up. These are the things that we talked about at certain points here. The next thing... it seems like there was a total support of the lifestyle of homosexuality, or what this world calls homosexuality today, within the pagan belief. Is that correct?
Among modern-day pagans, yeah, definitely. We don't. I'm really not aware of any nowadays who are prejudiced against gay folks. It's not something that we. Practice is that
okay.
Kind of.
We tend to not use the word gay because usually, we're living in a politically correct world today, and I'm going to go over that in a minute. But at one point, gay meant happy.
Or you could say LGBT, I guess.
It had nothing to do with defining a sexual orientation. All right, so we understand that the word gay means happy. According to those that follow the Bible or those who believe in scriptures, it's the act of sodomy, according to the scriptures. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah, which there's ashes in that same area today that prove that it's archaeologically sound that happened. That's a whole other conversation, but I just want to make sure that you come out and tell us that you have total support of homosexuality. And you call it not discriminating. We don't discriminate either because we don't deal with them. So
we're about to do our Coven Oldenwild. Every year we do an annual celebration at Halloween, October 31st, which we call Samhain. And this year it's going to be called Love is the Law. And it's a spirited celebration of love, equality. So we're going to use our status as priest and priestess, Lady Passion and I, to handfast or marry anyone of any gender who wants to come and have their bond, sacred bond, recognized, because we consider that bond sacred no matter what gender the people are. Now, it won't necessarily be legal, not in North Carolina, but...
yeah, but sacred to who, Steve?
Well, sacred to the divine, to the gods, and to
the gods.
I don't think there's much more sacred than love, actually.
Steve, but love, it depends on what perspective are you speaking when it comes to love. All right, because first of all, the lines have to be drawn on what's immoral and what's moral. But that's a whole other conversation. We're going to go into that. I have those points. I just want to go down the list now. Because we're definitely going to hit that homosexuality thing, because the whole deal is I don't know anyone that's discriminating against homosexuals. Went out anywhere and say that homosexuals can't do this or that. They're going, in the privacy of their home, they're going to do what they want to do. No one ever...
Well, but they, in America anyway, there's a big controversy over whether they should be given the same, a homosexual couple should be given the same rights as a heterosexual couple, for instance, when you're dealing with wills and that sort of thing. And that's the issue, I think, really, here.
Who raised that debate point? Like, the whole deal is marriage, by every definition, since the beginning, is man and woman. There has never been a marriage of man and man or woman and woman throughout history.
Well, that's not true, really. I mean, you can see a lot of those in other cultures. Even in older times in our culture, people were a lot less...
What culture?
About that, till Victorian times, really.
I'm saying, but what culture? Not our culture.
You did do a little research on, actually, Wikipedia is a good place to start on the history of marriage.
In case you didn't know this, I'm black. I'm black. And all through culture, even in African culture, going way back to when we were in Israel, that was against our religion. That was against our being. Now, if you want to go into the pagans and what they believe and what the Romans were dealing with, okay. But that's two separate cultures. So I wouldn't want
to... Well, I don't know if they're separate. Nowadays, so much of our culture does come from Greek and Roman culture. I'm not sure you can really, separate one strand from the other, and I'm sure that you find a lot of tolerance.
Greeks and Romans perpetuates what's right, and you had different cultures outside of Greeks and Romans for years. So just because your Greeks and Romans did it doesn't mean that everyone should tolerate a different culture. That's their culture.
Well, I mean, just like it's common among Native American cultures.
Matter of fact, I'm going to have a North American Indian come in soon. That wasn't perpetuated amongst the Native Americans. Not at all. It wasn't tolerated.
Well, that's... I think you get a lot of dispute from historians about that, anthropologists.
Okay, that's why we have this show, Steve. We're going in. Today, last week was the beginning, but we're going to go all the way in tonight. Let's go to the next point. Let's go to the next point, because also we have to mention that you have admitted that orgies are practiced amongst many pagan groups, notwithstanding, excluding your particular group. But that
I can't say that I've seen or experienced or known of any that actually do. I mean, it's a tradition that's the way they used to do things 100 years ago or maybe a little further back. It's a lot more on TV, I think, than in reality.
Well,
or in Hollywood, rather. It's really rare.
Let's put that Let's put an exclamation point. Let's come to an understanding now. Would it be evil for a pagan group to have orgies?
I think if it was done in the service of the gods, then no, it wouldn't. But that said, it gets you into a lot of really tricky territory with relationships and you know, guilt and safe sex and all sorts of minefields. So I think it was a lot more common in the days when, you know, things were more on a village level, and people would go up and have an orgy in the crop fields in order to bring fertility to the land that they were going to, you know, get their food, their grain and corn and whatnot from. Because that's really the original purpose of fertility magic.
I don't agree with that, but what I'm asking you is, if what I'm asking you in detail, just one thing, if orgies were enacted within some pagan act groups, that wouldn't be considered unlawful amongst pagans. Is that correct?
No, as long as it's consensual, you know, everybody agrees to it, and that would not be considered by itself unlawful. You know, it depends on the intention, of course. If it's you don't want some, like a lot of kind of non-pagan groups are, you know, kind of run as a sex cult around a guru leader, like that fellow in the news, the Amish guy who went off and shaved off the beards of his rivals. You know, he was apparently running quite a Amish sex cult, if you can imagine such a thing. But that's a whole different thing. That's not pagan. And, in fact, it seems to be a lot more common among monotheistic groups among pagans.
Okay. Well, that leads me to my next question, because I'm going to ask you a few questions now, then I'm going to open the lines. A few questions, and I have a few points based on everything we've just discussed. All right?
Uh-huh.
The first thing I'm going to ask you before I go into the Halloween situation, that's coming up October 31st. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But before I do that, I would like to ask you, okay, what is fornication, or is there such thing as fornication?
Well, I think there's such thing as rape.
I'm not talking about forceful evil against another person, like forcing someone to have intercourse. There's such thing as fornication, where just say homosexuality, which is unlawful according to the Bible, a man sleeping with another man's wife, whether consent or no consent.
Did you say sleeping with another man's wife?
Just say hypothetically you have two pagans, right? And they're married, and one of the so-called high priests or whoever the case, or just regular members within the pagans, decided they agree that to give his wife to another person for some type of act or whatever, a sexual act. Is that fornication, or is that evil amongst pagans to do something like that?
Well, they all agreed to it, and are they all willing to do that? I mean,
they all agree to it. Is that fornication?
If everyone all around agrees to it and doesn't... you know, and doesn't see that as threatening their relationship, then no, I don't think we'd consider that. I don't think we'd consider that wrong, or we certainly wouldn't consider it a sin. We consider it a little risky, because, you know, I just based on experience, a lot of times, you know, that does get into tricky relationship territory down the road. But that's up to the couples or the triples. I mean, a lot of pagans are polyamorous, meaning they will have, it'd be like maybe multiple people having a relationship, not just two, you know, having a committed relationship. I mean, ultimately what matters the most.
A committed
commitment.
Polygamous?
Polygamous, polyandrous too. I mean, not just one guy, many wives. It could be, you know, one woman, several husbands. You know, it's not like the law would, you know, recognizes that, but the people often do commit themselves to you know, what we call a polyamorous relationship, polyamorous okay. and he loves.
Okay. All right. A few more things here because I'm going down the line and I know everyone is waiting. I know the lines is buzzing off the hook right now. I would like to ask you. Okay, what's the next thing here? Pedophilia. Is that unlawful or that's fornication amongst pagans to deal with children?
Yes, we definitely draw a line there because that's considered using, abusing really a child who doesn't know, isn't old enough and mature enough to give their consent, something like that. And that can really get you in a lot of hot water with pagans if you do that and are found out about it. I can think of a couple of examples I'm familiar with, in fact. That's definitely something I'd say there's a strong consensus that we draw the line against.
Well, don't you think it's ironic that a line is drawn with the child pedophilia, but yet in our conversation last week, you admitted that child sacrifice, the Moloch, was a part of the original pagan culture?
No, what I said was that I think that with the Moloch passage, there's a lot of evidence that passing the child through the fire was actually not a sacrifice, but a kind of health ritual for purification, and that wouldn't result in the death of the child. It's just to purify him with the health. There's a lot of pagan cultures that did that with, for instance, in Ireland, they would build two sacred fires and drive their cattle between them, you know, and the idea was that it was spiritually and magically and healthily, with their health, purify them.
Come on with me now. You know that child sacrifice, children dying, was a part of ancient pagan rituals. I'm not talking about the certain areas.
But then,
So sure, let's not downplay it as if
every
it never happened.
That ever happened or any, you know, to me, that's...
It's still happening today.
No, there's no evidence of that.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. That's why I asked the question. We're going to talk about that too. Now we're going to go into it. And I know the lines are just on fire right now. All right. You said last week that Halloween was a simple observance of dead ancestors. And I would like, and that point is well taken. It's already documented. I want to know, can you expound more? I want you to tell the people what you left out of that politically correct answer last week.
Oh my!
What are some
correct?
What are some of the ancient rituals of Halloween that you didn't say? Because
divination. For instance, communicating with spirits and ancestors, say through tarot or Ouija or what have you. That's something we commonly do at Samhain or Halloween, because we believe that the veil between the worlds is thinnest at that time, and the world of spirit is closest to the world of the living. Living in the flesh, if you like.
But I think you just skipped over something profound that I think we need to just stay on real quick. You said divination, and as dealing with mediums to spirits, calling in spirits through a medium or a seance. Is that correct?
Some people do it that way, yeah. Others do it with tarot cards or with, Ouija board, maybe. There's a lot of ways to do it.
How do you do it? What do you participate in these things, the Ouija boards and the divination?
Oh, yeah, every year Lady Passion at Samhain does free divinations with tarot cards for people, and they form a line around the block. for it too. In fact, we fought and succeeded in getting the law against divination changed in North Carolina because it is a spiritual and religious practice. And a lot of Christians supported us because they do divination with their Bibles. You know, they'll ask a question, open the Bible at random, point their finger at a passage, and take an answer from what they get. You know.
They're often doing that. The Bible instructs you directly not to do something like that. So.
Well, yeah, it's got lots of passages condemning prophets and diviners and soothsayers and pythonesses, and which we find, we think they're trying to, it's like telling you, don't look behind the curtain at the wizard back there. You know, it's just we find it a false condemnation and kind of hypocritical, actually. Because it's a way of preventing people, of shutting people off from the gods and forcing them to go through the orthodox channel of the church and the priests, you know.
I wouldn't go that way. The orthodox way is the same. It's really the same road. I'm going to go into that too. Let me go to the next point because we're jumping directly into Halloween now. Now, I know you are familiar with Beltane and Samhain.
Yeah, Beltane is May Day. It's usually the 1st of May, and it's a kind of a celebration of spring and fertility and love and joy and all those good things. Dance around a maypole and celebrate the greenery that's coming up.
What about Samhain?
Well, Samhain, it's pronounced Samhain, sorry, it's Samhain, it's
Samhain.
A Gaelic, so it's pronounced Samhain. Scholars name means summer's end, and it's exactly the polar opposite of Beltane. It's 6 months apart from it, and it's the celebration of the waning of the year and the waning of the sun, and kind of the leaves are falling off, everything's starting to die, and it's a recognition that death is a part of life too.
Is that Halloween?
Yeah, that's Halloween, yeah. Yeah, it got renamed Halloween by Christianity, which Hallow means sainted, holy, All Saints Day, they also call it.
Let me ask you that. I was about to segue you there.
Breaking up a little bit. Can you say that again?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Under the Catholic Church, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I going in and out, or am I clear?
It's going in and out just a bit, but I'm getting most of it.
Okay.
So if I misunderstand something, I'll blame it on the connection.
Okay, all right. I may have to switch where I am. I may go back into the room. Let me ask you this. The Catholic Church switched Samhain into Saints Day under the Catholic Church to hide their Druid origin. Is that correct?
That's partly true. Yeah, I'd say it's. But it's not just Druid. It's also celebrated in Mexico, for instance, Day of the Dead. And
yeah,
and
they
the Germanic
weren't celebrating that in Mexico before the Roman Catholic
in Europe. Yeah. So yeah, it would have been Druid.
Exactly. So Catholics, the modern-day Catholics think they're just celebrating the saints which are within the Bible when they're really dealing with ancient gods, ancient pagan gods of ancient
times.
Well,
I can't speak for what they're doing, but I do know what we do. That's certainly what a lot of people down through the ages who have remained pagan, even while just to avoid getting burned at the stake, but pretended to convert to... to the Pope's faith, they continued celebrating the old gods and spirits and such. Yeah.
Hold up. Did I hear correctly? Did you say that witches converted as a front, just so they weren't burned? So there were witches who converted into, let's say, Christianity, and just just as a cover to continue worshiping the olden gods, as you call them?
That's the history of Europe, practically. Yeah, I mean you can find that everywhere. That they simply people simply renamed the local deity as a saint, and you know, and continued to you know, get healing from her well, or you know, from his stone, or whatever. You know, they would just because what people cared about was the healing magic. They cared about, you know, religion getting stuff done for them. You know, if you wanted to call it by this name or call it by that name,
would it be a fair, would it be a fair statement then to say that Euro, you know, it's where Eurocentric Christianity would have nothing to do with the original followers of Christ, then it was all a front?
Well, I wouldn't say it was all a front, but I wouldn't say that. This is mainly among the, you know, mainly among the people. As one of the Wiccans who called in last week pointed out, pagan means country person, rube, you know. And it's, you know, a lot of these traditions survived longest in the countryside, away from the cities, because people were more closely in touch with nature and its diversity and its magic, you know.
All right, but I get that.
Really, Christianity is a product of cities. I don't want to get into that. We got questions.
Yeah. Let's move on to the points that Elder Ricard is bringing out.
Okay, I want a few more points I wanted to get, because I know we've got to open up the lines real quick. The next point I wanted to go into, it so happened, I see if you can agree or disagree real quick so we can move along if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
Because these are some good points I wanted to bring forth here. The fact that Saints Day, before it was Saints Day, it was at one point called Honoring the Lord of the Dead in ancient Celtic beliefs and rituals. Is that correct, Honoring the Lord of the Dead?
I've never heard of that. Although honoring the
never
dead,
heard that term? You never heard
no,
that term?
No, not among... No, I don't think anybody knows that about the Celtic. I mean, it's quite possible, but I just hadn't heard of that.
That's fair. Okay, this is one...
Hello?
Gaudi, can you hear me clearly, or am I going in and out?
Oh, it's going in
you're
and
going
out.
In and
out. Got out there.
I'm breaking up?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Okay, I'm going to change my location. Just give me about 3 minutes. I'm going to call right back in.
Okay, no
problem. All right? 3 minutes.
All right, then, cool. I'll just play a track till you come back, okay? All right, everyone. For those of you who are just joining in, you're locked into the Search Engine International. I'm your host, Gaja. And in some way, you could call this show a part two of what we were talking about. Yes, last week, excuse me, we had the High Priest, Steve Rasmussen. Hope I got that right this time.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah, with us again today. And we're going to open up the lines real quick and get some questions in on that. For the listeners in the UK who are tuning in, you know, blessings to everyone out there, down there. Blessings to the brothers and sisters down there in Bradford, the ones in London, Birmingham, and Manchester who locking into the show. All right, we have 2 hours and 4 minutes to go to the end of the show. All right, listen, if you want to come into the show on the overtime, start going into the Skype now and call in. Or the number to call is 646-200-4309 to get into the show. All right? We've got over 2 hours to go into the overtime. All right? So if you want to follow the show after the 2 hours, you have to call into the Skype. All right? For the listeners in the UK, in the States, the number is 646-200-4309. and the ones in Jamaica and other parts of the Caribbean also can call in through this number, 646-200-4309. All right? And, yeah, sum that up. All right, yo, let me just play a song, and then we get back to it after this, all right? This is the first one. Here, let's get this one in. Yeah, man. Is Elder Rakar back here?
Yes, I'm back. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, I'm hearing you.
All right, good. Well, I'm in the original place I was at last week, so I should be more clear now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, man. You want to continue on with the line of questions that you had before?
Yes, because I left off at Halloween, and what I ask, and based on the old Druids, under the ancient worship or the honoring of the Lord of the Dead, the rituals of the Druids were firstborn sacrifice, and that's also promoted in a lot of ancient pagan poetry. If you've heard of Dincentius, which is pagan poetry, they go into the firstborn sacrifice on Halloween night from ancient Druid or Celtic practices.
Right.
So what I'm asking
for that, Caesar certainly wrote a lot of biased things about the Druids as he was busy conquering them, you know, that's the trouble with a lot of those stories, is they go back to people who were trying to put together propaganda against their enemies. And
was propaganda, what you're saying. There was really no child sacrifice, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. We can't. It's hard to know for sure based on the writings of the Romans, which is about all we've got about the ancient Druids, because they were busy conquering them and trying to, take over Britain. Even if it were true.
Why don't we bring that into modern times so that we can take away the ambiguity in this and get to some serious terms here, some things we can agree on. You know, in San Francisco, there's a place called the Bohemian Grove.
Oh, yeah.
You know the Bohemian Grove, San Francisco?
I grew up in the Bay Area, so I'm very familiar with the protests that happen at the Bohemian Grove every year.
Well, I'm not talking about the protests. I'm asking you know about the Bohemian Grove and the practices and the pagan practices within the Bohemian Grove.
Well,
like
that's
the cremation of prayer.
Yeah, I do know all about that, actually, and it's mostly a joke, really. I mean, literally a joke.
Just a joke. Really, the American citizens don't have to be concerned with their elected officials going into a secret place in which no one else can enter, guarded.
Oh, that's be concerned
so they,
about, absolutely. They should be concerned about the rich and powerful getting together and conspiring to rip them off further. Yeah, absolutely. But that's what
and
people about.
So they shouldn't be alarmed to know.
Not the fraternity rituals they do, which is about all that stuff is. You know, it's all just made up. I mean, I've seen really good information on it from people that have actually snuck in and filmed a lot of things going on there, and it's just abundantly clear to us as pagans that that's just a lot of fraternity pranks going on.
Yeah,
there.
but it seems things of clear importance and of concern. It seems like you downplay them as if they're really nothing.
I think it's important that all these people getting together, they only worship one thing, and that's money. You know, their god is money, and that's what too many people's god these days is pure money, pure wealth, pure mammon. And that's what people should be up in arms about, you know, not about, you know, rumors of, you know, strange rituals at Bohemian Grove, which those guys don't take seriously. All they take seriously is their bank accounts and how to make them fatter at everybody else's expense. And, you know, I think that's also what religions should be getting together and condemning, because that's one thing that's throughout the Bible and ancient paganism is the condemnation of greed and taking too much for yourself, selfishness at the expense of others. That's a universal religious ethic and why more Christians don't condemn it. In fact, they seem to get on the same side of it. They talk about prosperity theology. They talk about, you know, they sign up with the wealthy corporate CEOs in the Republican Party and tell everyone to vote for them. You know, it's just completely backwards of what it ought to be. And if there's an evil in the world, I think that's the biggest one right now. It's just sheer materialism. They're not even worshiping anything spiritual. It's just pure matter to them. It's all dead resources to be exploited. And and unfortunately, they get a lot of backing from scientists and that who pretend like there's no such thing as spirit too, because they can't measure it in a test tube. So it encourages people to say, oh yeah, all that matters is, you know, my own personal comfort at the moment, and just getting as much as I can before I go.
Excuse me, Brother Steve. Brother,
oh, yeah, that's my. See, I feel strongly about that.
I'm sorry. This is Brother Gabar in the studio. Brother Gadget, we lost another car. Just wanted to let you know.
Oh,
Brother
I'm
Gadget.
Sorry. I hope I didn't.
No.
Okay, good. Maybe we have time to take a call then.
Yeah, let me check in some phone, because I want to make sure we didn't lose also Brother Gadget. Brother Gadget, you there? Brother Gadget. Okay, let's grab some phone calls until we get. I know they're overseas, so sometimes it's difficult. Is it Steven or Steve?
Steve. Steve is fine, yeah.
Steve, okay.
I also have a craft name. A lot of people know me by Yuve, which is basically means sky god. It's
Yuve. Okay.
Yuve, yeah.
Okay, so all right. Steve or Yuve, hold on, and we're gonna bring in Sister Jenny has a question. Sister Jenny, you're on the line, Sister Jenny.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, sister. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I want to give all praise to Ahaya Bashem Yeshaya. What I want to ask your guest is that we as Jews, we know that our God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, is the Almighty God, the power, the one that's over all gods. I was asking you, are you not afraid on the day that he judged those gods that you would be in the line with them? Are you not afraid of the consequences?
I'm afraid of the consequences if I don't stand up for my faith and my beliefs. I'm more afraid of the things I don't do and feeling guilty and bad about them than I am about the things that I do. But I don't, to us there is a universal spirit. Most pagans would agree there's a universal God that's beyond all and within all, but it's not the same as any particular limited deity that has a particular name, that has a particular, history and a particular book. It's just too vast for that. I mean, we live
in a universe. But you do know that universal God is the creator of all the other gods.
It's the, that's possible, but if so, we're certainly open to the idea that there is one source of all. In fact, I think a lot of us agree with that. But the idea that but it's so remote, it's so vast. It's like trying to see the Big Bang. You can figure out.
You do practice some of the Egyptian rituals, and you do believe in some of the practices that the Egyptians have done.
Yeah, a lot of pagans, in fact, do specifically Egyptian rituals, and we have actually my wife and high priestess, Lady Passion, actually was visited in a dream once by an Egyptian god, Jupiter.
Okay,
Ammon.
But don't you know that our God brought them down?
Well, that's what the stories in the Bible say. We don't experience.
Well, they're no longer really in existence as far as their power.
That's not true. That's just what you've been told. That's not our
experience. They're underground. If you have to go underground, then you're not in charge no more.
Well, that's just because people, the Christian and Muslim priests, slaughtered.
But we're not underground. We're not underground without God. We all in the opening telling you how good our God is and how faithful he is and how faithful he is to us and how we serve him. We're not underground.
Well, I've noticed that a lot of Christians yell so loud about their God at me that they seem pretty defensive about how much they actually believe what they're saying.
Do you know the distinguish between those Christians and the people you're talking to now?
Oh yeah,
do you know the difference?
I wouldn't lump with that. I'm thinking about a lot of the street preachers that we deal with.
Okay, that's not us.
Yeah, but and if it's based on your experience, if that's your personal experience, then then that's. That's good.
I'm not trying to tell you about my personal experience. I'm just asking you: do you not have 1 ounce of concern? Because if we're wrong, we just live the righteous life. If you're wrong, you're in trouble. Do you not just think of that? Just 1 ounce.
I have my conscience tells me that I'm absolutely right, and that the people that try to suppress the old ways. And make it one way only, kind of channel it into their monopoly, that they're the ones that are wrong. And I see that in their actions, too, that they violate natural conscience all the time.
Okay, but I want to tell you, we're older people than you. Do you not know about the older people that were before your culture?
Well, hold on, sister. I believe we have Elder Ricard back on. Let me try to bring him on back in.
All righty.
Okay.
All right. With that, Sister
okay.
Jenny?
Elder Ricard?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, he's back. Okay, hold on. Okay, so I guess apparently, you know, and sister, thank you for your, I guess, your zeal for the Most High. But Brother Steve, I guess he doesn't see it that way. So
I understand that. Shalom. I just wanted to put that out, that if he know that we're older people than him and that our God is older than the gods that they serve. He's saying that people are trying to, you know, make him think different. I'm just trying to tell him that do he know that our God is older than him and that our ways are older than his?
Well, I respectfully disagree, and so, yeah. But but thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. I'll yield to the brother. Shalom, y'all.
Thank you, sister.
Shalom, Sister Jenny. All right.
Hello?
Okay, the record?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, so the floor is yours.
Okay, I apologize, and I'm glad Sister came in, but I really wanted to keep it within the parameters of these questions so that we don't get sidetracked before I, you know, we're going to yield for a lot of calls, and I guess we're going to get all different ends here. What I was mentioning, Steve, and I was mentioning to the people out there is that we can't downplay, to me, it don't have anything to do with money, and I'm going to tell you why it has nothing to do with money, and I'm going to just... And then you can give me your opinion on what you think once I bring this forth, Steve.
Okay, what has nothing to do with money?
What's going on in the Bohemian Grove?
Money
is being used on the lowest levels. That's for the people who are being used through the system. But all in all, there is a ritual within the Bohemian Grove in which they worship, and they deal with ancient pagan rituals such as the cremation of care.
That's not an ancient pagan ritual. I know about that. And
okay, well,
it's...
explain. Okay. Well, hey, you're the warlock here. I mean, you're the witch or whatever.
Witch.
So,
yeah.
Tell me, what is the cremation of care?
They're just trying to do a. My understanding of it is that it's just a way of saying, okay. Get rid of all your worries. You're here to have a good time, and you know. And they quote something from Shakespeare about weaving spiders come not here, you know, so that you know we're all just good buddies in the same fraternity, and we're don't bring in your outside worries. Just have a good time while you're here. And meanwhile, of course, they all go off.
I think you left out the mock child sacrifice. I mean, you didn't say anything about that.
Is that that's the cremation of care thing? It's been a while since.
The mock child sacrifice during the cremation of care.
I don't remember it looking like a child, but.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Give us your email, and I'm going to send you some things that you need to see so that you can see that it's actually a mock sacrifice to the god Moloch in the fire.
Right. Yeah, I know about their big Moloch with all the electronic circuitry inside. I went to Princeton University with a lot of people that went on to run stock markets and corporations and that sort of thing. And it's really these people, I hate to, you know, speak as a kind of like a in a prejudicial way, but I'd say most of them really are very materialistic. They just they're not worshiping a deity of any kind, whether a devil or a god. They're just worshiping power and their own personal power and how they can get more of it. You know, it's profoundly selfish.
But
I'd rather some kind of spirituality.
I still think you're only speaking to one demographic of them.
Well, that's kind of the top 1% in my experience.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's swing this back because that's the segue. The point that I was making to you before I open up the lines is that it seemed like all these things that are linked directly to pagans through every walk of life are spinned within media and mainstream as just spontaneous, and I don't think it's spontaneous at all, or just coincidence. Like, for instance, I have your website up, and I have the Church of Satan's website up. And I'm
right, the Church of Satan. Yeah. Okay, they're atheists, you know. They don't believe in Satan.
Let me say what I'm saying, because so that I can get it all out, and you can clear it up. That's why we have you here, and I'm going to let you speak.
That's our website at oldenwild.org, right? OLDENWILD.org.
As I speak. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a chance to say everything, but let me make my point.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I don't think it's a coincidence, and maybe you can let us know why the Church of Satan have the same pagan days and have the ancient rites and pagan days as pagans. Why is Halloween their highest holy day of the year? If Satanism have nothing to do with paganism, why do they admit that they're pagans? It seems as if the same thing Christians are doing to pagans, Satanists, it seems like pagans are doing the same thing to Satanists.
I can answer that. The Church of Satan was founded by Anton LaVey in the 1960s.
I understand and, that.
He was kind of a Hollywood guy, and he hung out with a lot of Hollywood people. But he was an atheist. He believed that Satan did not exist, but was a symbol for the human ego and for the untrammeled human ego, without, you know, being held back by religion or morality or anything. And so he kind of cobbled together a lot of kind of Hollywood stuff for the Church of Satan.
Which is, he
adopted the inverted pentagram, which has never been associated with Satan until he came along, really. I've known some people who knew him because they happened to grow up in the same neighborhood where he lived and would.
That ain't my point. It seemed like you're dealing, Steve. It seemed like you're dealing with an old term of what they call ignorantia elenchi. It seems as if you. No. Let me make this clear. I bring up a point, and you start talking about something that's similar to the point, but have nothing to do with the question I'm asking you.
Church of Satan.
Let me ask you the question again. Why is it that people in the modern day Church of Satan uphold the same pagan holy days as Wiccans? That's my question.
You'd have to ask them. I couldn't say, but I'm guessing. That because it seemed like Halloween was kind of seen as the darkest and spookiest of the holidays, so that may be why they adopted it. But I can assure you that the Church of Satan does not believe in Satan as a deity or as a being, as a spirit.
Okay.
You know, they're very clear about that.
Okay, Steve, let me tell you what I'm getting here. I'm getting the same, what I would say, the same responses as I would get if I was speaking to a Christian. And I'm going to give you an example. I speak to a Christian about why they are dealing with Sunday worship when the pagans were dealing with Sunday or the worshiping of the sun before they really just think of Christ. And that the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, and the Bible says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They uphold the Bible, ignore the Sabbath, and say that Christ brought in a Sunday that Christ never spoke about. And then when you bring it up to them, instead of them addressing what's before them in the book, they start talking about, well, even though the pagans did it, we're doing it because of this. But that it doesn't matter why you're doing it. If you are following the Bible – and the Bible speaks against it, you shouldn't do it if you claim to follow the Bible. So by the same term, I'm getting the same vibe that when I speak of something, you would like to downplay it. Well, I know what Satanists do, but we're doing it because of this. When actually, when you really look at the works of the dark side, they're working in all elements. They're working in the political arena. They're working in the pagan arena. Listen, they're working in the Christian arena. They're working all around us as these fringe liberal groups that's supposed to help humanity, but really they are against the moral fibers of the scriptures. All of them. Everyone I'm mentioning.
So I don't see, now think I wouldn't, that it's, I don't know if we'd agree on what the dark side is. To me it's more like a way of, to me the dark side is selfishness. When all you care about is yourself, and really, and that's all you see. You don't have compassion, you don't have love, and I see that as inherent in a lot of monotheism, and I see it as inherent in a lot of materialism too, where people just want to believe that their way is the right way and they got the answer to everything because it's their answer.
Let's go straight into the spiritual realm now so we can get out of these gray areas of ambiguity. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that in some of these rituals you can call down dark forces to do evil things to other people?
No, that's kind of a misunderstanding. You can't. The gods won't do that. In fact, we often.
Last week, and I have it documented here. You said that someone.
I said we were talking about
people against you in one of these rituals.
But that's a little different.
What I'm asking.
No, you wouldn't that's have. What I'm asking. Whoever did that. Would not have been able to get, for instance, Hecate or the help of Kernunos for any of that.
Well,
no, that's
who do
purely.
They get the help of?
Excuse me?
Who do they get the help of?
Well, people who do that sort of thing tend to build up their own spiritual energy. Oftentimes, they don't even believe in God, and they just focus on. Energy itself as just pure energy, like the what the Chinese call qi or the Indians call prana, it's energy in the body.
So let's make this clear. When pagans do it, it's actually calling on one of these deities that are not bad. But when someone else call on some deities or do some evil spirits, it have nothing to do with forces outside of them. It have everything to do with them.
That.
I'm asking you to answer a specific question.
Okay,
is there something they call on? Is there something they call on the outside of them to do evil to other people? Is what I'm asking you.
There's, you know, in our experience, it just isn't out there. There just isn't something like that out there. The gods are benevolent, and that's why whenever we do a spell, whenever witches do a spell, we usually dedicate it to the gods and ask them, you know, look, if I'm off track here, if there's anything wrong with what I'm trying to do or ask here, then please, you know, make it not happen. In other words, we count on them to kind of as a kind of a fail-safe. Now, people that focus on curses, they're not going to get very far getting any gods on their side. Maybe they can try calling on Satan, but what they're, I don't know what, you know, how that's going to help them or not, but it's just what I've observed over the years is that it's generally they're profoundly self-centered people, and they're just focusing on their own power and energy. And, you know, that's without regard to deity. I mean, Christians tend to like to think that there's this great battle between good and evil, between the light and the dark, and, you know, that there's God above and Satan below, and everything else is kind of pulled between these two poles. That's just not how it looks out there, you know, if you
okay.
actually experience it.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to ask you one more question, then, you know, it seems like you don't want to answer the question directly. But I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to open up a line. No, because I think you know for sure that people out there call on dark forces, that there's the dark wicked and there's the so-called light wicked.
That's not true. That's a myth. There's no
maybe there's a conflict in... Matter of fact, we're going to get someone that comes from that deal with the dark witchcraft to come on with you and tell you that y'all deal with the same days, but these Wiccans don't want to come out and just tell what's going on. But
I mean, a lot of people go around claiming to that, and some of them make pretty good money. But
they can
not.
Say the same about you, Steve. All right,
excuse me.
I say they can say the same about you, right? So
no, I don't make
so
much
let's...
money at this.
All right. So, one more thing before we bring the people in here. All right?
Okay, yeah. And then
one
we
more
probably
thing.
Should get some of those calls. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can keep this, you know. Some of the things that you have mentioned and some of the practices that you're doing, all right, there are those that deal with witchcraft and Satantry under Satan. They deal with witchcraft under Satan. Celebrate the same pagan days and use Halloween, and Halloween is their high Sabbath for the year. You do know that.
Well, I can't speak for them. I do know that a lot of times kids will rebel against their fundamentalist parents and try to get all into Satan worship and, you know, tattoo upside-down pentacles on them and so forth and say the mass backwards and all this sort of thing. But it's really, they're just taking Christianity and standing on its head, you know, which is, they're just reacting, they're rebelling. And, you know,
can you say,
as I've ever known, it's been that sort of thing, just mainly rebellious teenagers. There are no satanic...
When you say fundamentalist parents, don't you think the parents have the right to influence their children with what's morally right according to their family?
I think any time you suppress a child's curiosity, whenever you tell them, don't ever open that door, whatever you do, don't open that door, that's the first door they're going to open. You know, I think that you need to let kids... explore a little and, you know, not insist that there's only one way and that it's your way. I'm not saying, you know, cut them loose and let them wander around wherever they want. Give them, you know, I mean, there's such a thing as a moral compass, too.
No, there's a such thing as parents training up a child the way they should go. When they're of age, they shall not depart from righteousness.
Well,
in my
experience, that's exactly how to get them to the righteousness.
And that comes with telling a child a lot of time, no, you can't explore that. You will not have this. No, you cannot bring the Ouija board in my house. No.
See, that's
you
wrong.
Cannot.
I think that's wrong because I think that a child, you know, most kids have more developed and mature souls than adults do by the time most people grow up. They've shut down their souls. They've clamped it and constrained it within the narrow confines of a Bible or a Quran
you can't compare the Bible to the Quran. Okay, you can't compare the Bible to anything you're dealing with because you haven't learned the Bible. You don't know the Bible.
Sure, I do.
So,
and I know the Quran too. I've read quite a bit of it too.
Well, listen, you don't know the Bible, and I'm going to bring a few things forth to let you know.
How well, my point is, though, about parents and kids.
Pagans have distorted the true understanding of the book. And that's why Christians are totally confused today, because they're waking up realizing that the book is not pagan, that it was pagans teaching them doctrine. And now the pagans are bringing in a new age, which was set up from the beginning. But we're going to talk about that in a moment. What I would like to do is speak about last point, and I know we have a lot of people online. This is what I want to speak about right now. You got politicians who deal with satanic rituals. You have pagans who deal with the so-called their rituals. You have Christians who deal with pagan rituals. You have Catholics that deal with ancient pagan rituals. You have Islam, which was founded in paganism. The only people that did not deal with any level of pagan, who eventually fell to paganism are the true children of Israel, who suffered by following the ways of Gentiles, worshiping other gods. Listen, I don't blame you, Steve, for worshiping your ancient ancestors and what you're doing, because this is what Gentiles have done throughout the ages. That's their ancient religion. But what we're putting out there is that that's not ours. Our people had an understanding outside of the pagans, outside of the Gentile way of life. And the greatest war is between the pagans and their belief and the true children of God. Because the Bible was never meant to be used for paganism. Okay? Pagans came in under the Romans. The pagans came in when the Greeks took our ancient Hebrew records and translated them into the Septuagint to learn about our culture. And eventually, by learning our culture, they were able to take us down and integrate us into their pagan culture.
Well, that sounds like kind of a purity thing, you know, that that doesn't really honestly sound too much different from when I hear white supremacists talk about how the darker races sullied the white race. You know, I think a lot of people are trying to find purity when they should be focused more on their hearts and experience and, you know, learning to listen and hear from all sides, learn from the diversity that nature offers, that the universe offers, and take wisdom where they can find it rather than trying to always constrain it through this one narrow sieve, you know. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. Your point is well taken. I would like to...
pagan practices. What about Astarte? What about the Elohim, which is plural, the gods?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Judaism. You're speaking of the Judaism. And
shot throughout the Old Testament, there's quite a bit of, it's pretty hard to find it. You have to really twist it to make it just one way and say that there's only this God and all else is false. You know,
one way. Listen, Steve, there's only one way for the children of Israel.
Well, I
mentioned earlier,
I was
the Gentiles have always dealt with many gods. So let me bring this out real quick, because I have a few things that's in front of me where people ask questions, and I have to give these out before I open up the phone call.
Some of the questions.
All right.
Sure.
Yes. Can you ask me that question, and I'll answer you, and then let's go right into it. Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
I'm sorry.
You have a question?
No. Are you?
Yes.
Is there a caller on the line? Or?
Yeah. We're about to bring some people in, but I got to ask two questions. Are you
okay,
familiar?
Well, let's get a caller on and get their questions out because I think they've been waiting a long time.
Okay. Well, let's get their questions, and I'll just ask these questions, which someone actually sent to me.
Oh, okay. Later. Well, if that's okay, yeah, you want to ask those? Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Just two questions real quick, and then I'll just open it up, and I don't even have to dialogue. The first question was the one when it comes to Stonehenge, in which all the witches and the warlocks and different pagans come from all over the earth. What is Stonehenge, for those who don't know what Stonehenge is?
What is Stonehenge?
Yes.
It's a very ancient temple, of, or at least it's believed to be, and it's aligned to the cycles of the seasons, the summer solstice when the sun is highest in the sky and the days are longest. It the sun casts a casts a beam right down the center of Stonehenge, and people experience that as kind of activating a lot of the earth energy that that circulates and is kind of concentrated there by the structure of those standing stones. There are a lot of stone structures like that all over the earth, and they're all very, very ancient. They're probably probably date from before the back to the Ice Age, actually, quite a few of them. But yeah, they seem to be tied in with channeling the energy of and concentrating the energy of the sun and the earth together, kind of maybe electromagnetic, a lot of people say. So anyway, that's it's hard to say in just one word what Stonehenge is, because it's kind of a mystery itself.
Okay. Are you familiar, on the hinge of Stonehenge, are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestones in Georgia?
Georgia Guidestones. No, I don't think I am. I know that there's sites like Stonehenge. There's one in New Hampshire I visited called, what is it? I think it's called North Salem or something like that. And there's one in... there's a serpent mound in Ohio, I think it is. It's very famous. But I don't think I knew about the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah. The Georgia Guidestones is talking about, for the earth, depopulating the earth. And it's sort of, you need to look that up. It sort of looks like Stonehenge, where they're looking to get the earth down to a manageable number of the population.
Huh.
So you don't believe in depopulate, that there's too many people and that the earth should be depopulated?
Wait, who believes that?
I'm asking you, do you believe that?
Oh, well, I think that it's really not so much a matter of population. It's a matter of how their resources are distributed. I think too few are holding on to too much and need to share it with more people. The earth could support a lot more people more easily than it does if people were a little bit more intelligent about how they live together, a little more harmonious.
Okay. All right. And last last question I have, and then we can open up the lines, is what's your take on abortion? Do you think abortion should be allowed within our system?
Well, now, pagans and Wiccans, we believe in reincarnation. So we believe that if a, you know, if a soul can't get into a body this time because the body was aborted, then it'll have another chance. You know, try again with another, in another womb, so to speak. You know. That a lot of people feel, a lot of pagans feel that in the first and second trimester, you know, maybe the first 6 months, that the soul hasn't really come into the fetus yet, and so that's, you know, they don't really have such a problem with abortion then. I think by the time you get into the third trimester, though, it starts to get a little more tricky, and a lot of people would say that that should only be in the case of rape or incest or that sort of thing.
So you're saying, yes, that it's okay for abortion if it's before the first 6 months?
Yeah, and I think that's probably a pretty general consensus among pagans.
Yeah, that's totally evil.
Well, See, that's because
that
you think
feels evil
the
because
soul only has
the Most High.
You don't believe in reincarnation.
No, I'm saying with the Most High Creator, the Creator,
right.
Never created a fetus. Those are scientist terms, so that we can desensitize people into realizing that these are people.
They're not people. They're not people yet. They're not people until there's a soul in it. You know, if there's no soul in it, then it's just a part of the mother's body. Once it takes on independent life and has its own soul and will, you know, then that's different. But up to that
but that's your opinion.
No, that's based on what a lot of people have. That's based on a lot of research too. People with, you know, looking into past lives and, you know, it's not. It's also something that a lot of scientists would say too. That it's not till the third trimester that the fetus is independently viable from the mother.
Okay.
Like that, you know.
All right. Let's open up the lines.
Okay.
Let's open up the lines. You see, scientists. I got a lot for your scientists.
Yeah, I got some issues too, but we might agree about a lot of that.
Yeah. Come on,
Gaji.
Come on in, buddy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been taking some notes here and some of the things that were said on it. Boy, it sounds like we need even more time to even go into some of these things that's been mentioned. Welcome, everyone. For those of you just tuning in, you're locked into the Search Engine International. I'm your host, Gaja. My guest in the studio tonight is Steve Rasmussen. He was the pagan on from last week. We're doing the question and answer show this week. And as usual, we have Elder Rakar with us. A few things I wanted to say. For the listeners, we're just over an hour to go in the normal time. So those of you who was having problem last week, I suggest you try and get into it now through the links that I sent out before. Try and sign in through the Skype. Steve, I got an email before, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I got an email before, and this email is a sister in London sent me this email saying, you know, with a question. And let me read it to you, all right?
Okay.
It says here, in this case, I put some questions forward. It says, I read a bit about Steve. He is described as a third-degree guardian elder. The other
Marian,
name,
yeah.
Yeah, the other name he goes by is Duvet.
That's right.
Which is supposed to mean sky god. My suggested questions are, last week when you asked him about Halloween, Steve said that nowadays it is children's harmless fun. But he did say that it is the most important date in the Wicca calendar. What impact, if any, does mass worship by non-pagans have on his October 31st ritual? The second question is, what are your views on reincarnation? I think you just answered that one. And the next one says, As his other name means sky god, does Steve himself believe he is a god? Does he feel he is directly influenced by any other gods he worships? How important is Sunday worship for Wiccan pagans today?
Let me take that third one first, and just to clear up, no, I don't believe I'm a god. The reason I chose that name, and I should add that witches usually choose a magical name. Originally, that was so that, when they got together at Sabbaths and worshiped and such, everybody knew each other by a pseudonym. And so if anyone was caught and put to the rack and tortured, they could only give, you know, those names. They couldn't give people's, mundane names, their legal names, but it's also a way of connecting yourself with the divine. And the reason I chose that name, wasn't because I thought of myself as a sky god, but it's because it's a very old form from a dead language called Oscan, of the same word that's in Jupiter, that's in deity, that's in divine. It's Diu. It's E-U. I don't know if you remember last week I was talking about that, the vowel spectrum and the origin of the word Yahweh, you know, Yahu. And even in the name you guys use, Ahaya, Yah. You know, it goes back to the structure of the human mouth.
Yo,
and
wait.
So anyway, that's
hold on,
the reason,
Steve,
because
Steve,
it tapped into that universal
Steve,
name.
Steve. Nah, don't even do that one.
Well, no, I'm not saying I'm not trying to put you down at all. I'm saying that it's that it's part of that vowel.
Hear me.
Of the human mouth.
Steve,
these vowels.
Steve, hold up. I'm saying, don't use that one. Don't put that one anywhere near here. You understand me?
Okay, well, I heard you guys using it, so I didn't see the problem there.
Not in that context. You understand me? The name of the Most High has nothing to do with any of the other names that were called before you said the Most High's name. Yeah.
Well,
so, hold up.
Right.
Let's not even go into that.
I won't argue with you on that. Though I may disagree, let's let that one go. I apologize.
Let's go to the next question. The next question said, but he said that it is the most, speaking of Halloween, what impact, if any, does mass worship by non-pagans have on his October 31st ritual? So I think he's asking here, how does it affect you, a pagan who tapped into this tradition, when you have a mass people worshiping on this day unknowingly?
Unknowingly? You mean people running around trick or treating?
Yes.
Oh, I don't feel that it has any effect. But what I do feel is that when a whole bunch of witches come together and we have our sacred Sabbath together and do these rites, that it feels timeless. It's like you're connected into the to the beyond, to that which is older and wiser than any.
Let me give you something, right, Steve? Let me tell you something, all right?
Sure.
And I'm gonna put this out there on the radio before I came into this truth, right?
Uh-huh.
As to who I am, and as you just mentioned, as you were saying before, the name, who the Most High is, and the name of the Most High, right?
Okay.
I used to run around with a lot of people. I'm from the Caribbean. I don't know if you can tell by my accent, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit, yeah.
I used to run around with a lot of people that dealt in the dark arts, as, you know, back home we call it Obia, all right?
Of what?
Obia, in the Caribbean we call it Obia, Obia.
Oh, right, yeah, that's very similar to Wicca and paganism, and you may call it the dark arts, but in fact it's not at all.
Which is what I'm gonna,
and I think a lot of Obeah people would object to that characterization.
Well, listen. This is where I was going with it. Is that I know people, right? I know people who have gone into this thing, right, and done spells and conjured spirits to do harm, right? So people out there need to know that you know, when you're saying that dealing with spirits, you know, it's all a fun, joy, happy thing, is that, yo, you know, there are spirits out there that do harm. And you said
well,
it
well,
they,
you know,
they,
that depends
they,
on
they,
harm. I mean, if you're conjuring a spirit to stop a pedophile or stop a rapist, then, you know, is that harmful?
Well,
I mean, if you're,
well, I think conjuring spirits in any form to do anything, be it good or evil, is evil in the origin.
That's,
you understand
just, me? That's saying
to
I will never pick up a knife because it's sharp. And
no,
I could
no. No, listen. Conjure spirit, the origin of it is evil. That's my
no, it's
that's
not.
My
it's,
so
that's
what,
propaganda
so listen,
to shut you off from
no,
it. And
this is it, though. I'm saying that, yo, in this voodoo, in this Obia, right? In this Obia, usually 9 times out of 10, what it's used for is to do harm, to someone.
And I'm
this is not
why people go to OVR people, but a good OVR person, like a good witch, I mean a skilled one, will say, well, wait a minute, you know, let's look at the root of the problem here. And, you know, if this person is actively harming you, then, yeah, we can put a spell to stop them.
I'm saying this, that this isn't a feel or a think or what I think or what I feel. I'm telling you of things that is known. It's a known fact in this earth, right?
You can't really know it until you've been on the inside and actually been
I have been on the inside. I have been.
Well,
have
you been an OVR priest?
Listen. I have been on the inside. I have been to the cemeteries. I have been to the so-called voodoo men. I have seen them. I have seen them work, and I have seen what they do. It is real. This is no opinion. This is no something I want.
No, it is real. Yeah, but to call it evil and to say that it's only about harming people.
Let me finish. This isn't something
wrong.
This isn't something I'm imagining right now. I'm telling you that the thing is real, and I'm bringing it back around to say that before, when you were saying that you had no idea of what spirits doing harm, and I'm telling you that spirits do harm. People do conjure spirits to do harm. You understand?
Well,
me?
Then
in their own of doing something good. Like for example, someone goes to war with someone, saying that, you're okay, we're protecting our people, let's go kill some other set of people. So
when you're talking spirits, that tends to be different than gods. I think earlier I was talking about spells and dedicating them to the gods, that's different from summoning a spirit and telling it to do your bidding. That's
what we're getting at. No, can you? So in witchcraft, do you do that? Do you summon spirits?
One can, yeah.
So
we've done it once or twice for healing purposes.
What for? What?
For healing purposes, there are, to try to diagnose an illness. You know, we tried from an old grimoire, a spirit that's said to be knowledgeable about medical problems, and it was somewhat helpful.
Let me go back around again now to the sacrifice, the child sacrifice bit, right? No. There have been instances in the Caribbean, and I give you a story that I came across recently since being in this truth, right? A friend of mine, and he became a friend of mine because of this word. He started to talk, and he was telling me about him growing up in an orphanage, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He was letting me know that there was one time in the orphanage when he was on cleanup duty, okay? And was at the bottom of the at the basement of the orphanage, and he came across a dead baby. All right, in the orphanage on an altar, dead baby, blood drained. All right.
Well, that's what they call a friend of a friend story in the folklore business, where everybody says their friend saw something, but people exaggerate and tell stories.
Let me tell you this friend of the friend story then. Let me finish it then, all right?
But you didn't see that yourself, did you?
No, hold up. I'm gonna finish the friend of the friend story for the benefit of the people who are listening here now on Blog Talk. All right?
But you're misleading them to report what somebody else may or may not have actually happened.
No, but let them decide on that. Let me go into it. All right? Let them decide on whether it's hearsay or whatever. All right?
It is getting close to Halloween, so we might as well tell some scary stories.
one of the things that we do, right, in this truth, is that we try and tear down everything that exalts itself above the Most High. Paganism, Christianity, Satanism, anything, any organized religion that comes about and tries to put itself above the Most High, we tear it down. That's our duty, to bring it down. Now, I am in Jamaica, and I am in front of a church, tearing down a church, calling them pagans, calling them out, so to speak. Right? Now, this friend is absolutely terrified of me doing it. Terrified. Shaking. Shaking. He is terrified. So I'm asking him, yo, why are you so afraid of this church? That's when the story came up. And he was telling me what happened to him as a child in the orphanage. And him seeing a dead baby.
Oh, and he was a child too? Well, that's even less reliable. You know, a lot of those stories.
But you just said it before, that children are more spiritually connected than adults. How come the child is unreliable now?
What he might have been seeing may not have been a body at all, but a ghost, you know? I mean, because children are much more open and sensitive to those sorts of things.
Okay. Hold up. Let me bring Elder Rakar in real quick. Elder Rakar, are you there?
Yes, I would like to say one thing for the listeners real quick, and maybe it'll tie something in with Steve here. People might not know the difference between gods and spirits. Let me give you some understanding according to the difference. In ancient time before the flood, there were gods. These were what you would call illuminous spirits. They were angels who came and slept with women and bare Nephilim.
Well, okay? This is according to the Bible anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give our origin, since it's dealing with sheer ambiguity and not knowing from other sources. I'm going to deal with the source.
That would be your particular myth.
Yeah. I'm going to deal with the sources.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to deal with the sources we have, and then you'll be more than – you have the floor to give me the source of the origin of the gods that, based on your history of what, or your sources to tell us where they come from. But this is where we have been taught and what we know according to ancient records where they come from. Also, with the Bible and the Book of Enoch speaks of this, in which these fallen angels came and slept with women and bare giants. After the fallen angels were judged, which are the father of the spirits, some of them were bound in Hades, or what you would call hell today. Their children, according to the Book of Enoch, their curse was that they would die in a war, which is the ancient Grecian War of the Titans, who worshiped these gods. They would fall in a war, and because they came from the earthy and the spirit, there is no place that can hold them. They are to stay in the earth and dwell in the earth as evil spirits. And because they came from the sin of men, they will attack and do battle and do evil things. So I'm not confirming anything he's saying, but I thought that I would give brothers and sisters an understanding of the difference between gods and demons. Gods are the father of these spirits who are worshipped. The spirits are the ones that attack and do battle, who's used for evil and all those things. Satan, or whom pagans call Pan, or you can call him Mercury, or there's other gods, Zeus is another name for him, is the leader or the general of all the spirits that fell to the left-hand side. So I wanted to put that out there because there is a difference between gods and demons.
That's all according to what somebody wrote in a book and told you, but that's none of that's true. I mean, none of it is.
Okay, well, listen, I know it's true.
I mean,
now, you don't know it's true, but I know
well,
it's true.
Well, based on experience that pagans and Wiccans have in working with gods and spirits. I mean, I think we're an empirical religion, you know. We don't put a lot of stock in what somebody wrote 1,000 years ago trying to convince us of something.
I have experiences too on the spiritual
side.
Sure,
but probably not of summoning spirits and dealing with them.
Listen, not summoning spirits, but calling on the God of all spirits and dealing with the presence of the God.
You know, we
created
call
the
on God,
spirit,
and some call on the the all-encompassing Dryden, which I mentioned last week. But our distinction would be that spirits are kind of lesser beings that are similar to, well, for instance, when you die, you become a spirit. You're not a god, but you're kind of an independent being that doesn't have a body. And there are just, it's a very diverse spiritual world out there, just as it's a very diverse physical world. You know, there are wolves and there are lambs. There are tigers and there are mice, you know, in this world. And it's not that dissimilar in the spiritual realm. So, you know, there are sometimes people will, you know, try to, for instance, there are some old rituals to call up the spirit of a man who was killed in war and make him, you know, go make somebody fall in love with you, you know, that you send them against. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that people that are, you know, not spiritual, in the sense of not connected to the gods, can misuse any, you know, being like that. Leaders.
How can someone? You say you believe in reincarnation, right? How can someone that's dead if they've been reincarnated? I don't get that.
Well, the theory is that they're not actually summoning that person's, you know, what you would call that, you know, the being of that person. Like the light you see in someone's eyes when you're laughing and you're sharing a joke, you know, that person, they're not calling that. They're calling up this, some kind of being that's kind of a part of the body that's not quite part of the body, but also not quite part of the spirit. There's a lot of terms for it.
Steve.
The etheric body.
Steve, don't worry. I think you answered my question in the first sentence. All right. There's some callers here I want to bring in real quick, and we can take it from there. We're down to the last hour of normal time. People, if you're out there and you want to get into the show, into the overtime, you need to start calling in now. The number is 646-200-4309. Let me bring in Zahar in Atlanta. 1 minute.
And then cool days, you're some bear wolf.
Zahar. You live. Zahar. Let's bring in, I see Lexwell here. Let's bring in Brother Lexwell into the fold.
Hey, shalom, brother. How are we doing?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Guys, on the searchlight. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm just listening to this show. I'm just fascinating. Yeah. How are you doing, Steven? Or Eway, or however that's pronounced.
Steve is good. Yeah, you don't need to try to pronounce ancient Oscan.
I don't care what you call it, buddy. I mean, like, doesn't it kind of ring out to Yahweh a little bit? You know, just.
That's that word, that E A R O U. You know, the sharpest sound you can make is E. The broadest one is Ah, and the narrowest one is U.
Cool.
And that's where all these divine names come from. You know, the all-encompassing human vowel spectrum. You know, if you're going to have a name for the deity that represents all, then why not the word that includes all other words, which is the theory behind that. But yeah, it's something universal that you see in a lot of God names. But anyway, that probably was not your question, was it?
No, you're just kind of, no, sir, not at all.
Why don't you go ahead? I'll let you ask it.
First of all, you brought up Halloween, right? And I was wondering, did you know what the Druids did on Halloween?
Well, I don't think anybody really does.
Well, actually, like, if you go to any encyclopedia, they express that they went around for sacrifices.
Well, but they'll also point out, if they're a good encyclopedia, that's only according to Roman sources, and not very reliable at that.
That is a good source because it goes that far back in history.
But I mean, it was But the Romans were in the midst of conquering them, so it was in their interest to write propaganda against the Druids, and that's what...
Writing propaganda against the Hebrews. See, the Romans were pagan, too. They're like, pagans and Romans were sisters.
Well, yeah, and they were not trying to persecute...
Whoa.
Christians and Jews, they were not trying to persecute people based on their religion. They were just persecuting people because they wanted their land.
Actually, the Romans persecuted the Hebrews over their religion. Hence, when you die and you're a pagan, you go to hell, and their agenda was Hellenistic. I mean, it's all written out, Stephen.
That's different words. Hellas.
The
English word is from Old Norse.
I'm sorry, you said you went to Princeton, right?
Excuse me?
What college did you go to?
Princeton.
Right.
I mentioned that earlier, yes.
You know, like it's kind of weird because you're a very educated person, and, you know,
I'm completely evil, aren't I? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
College to learn a lot of pre-written stuff, predefined things.
At Princeton, they taught you how to sing.
Didn't even get my
comment.
That
was one thing I liked. You know, they didn't teach you facts. They taught you how to look at the patterns and systems of things, look at the big picture.
Go back to the pattern of the idea of the word hell, a prison, and Hellenistic. There is a pattern there.
You need to go look up your etymology because Hellenistic
comes... Do we acknowledge as men that there's a pattern there or not?
There's no pattern. No, it's just accidental. It's what the linguists call a homonym, two words that accidentally sound alike. Hellenistic comes from Hellas, which is what the Greeks called Greece in their language. Hell, the word, you know, the heaven versus hell, that's from Old Norse, a completely different language, old Germanic language, you know. And it seems to have meant something like covered place or something like that. There's some disagreement about it, but they didn't even think of hell the way Christians do. The people that originally used that word, the old Germanic and Norse people.
How can you? You already stated you can't speak for your colleagues today that are in Wicca with you. But now you're making a claim on thought of different sects from thousands of years ago.
Well, that's okay. That's according to
that's not
scholars
fair.
In mythology that I've researched.
I'm gonna take the next call. All right.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right, my
thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. We have Solomon from Virginia. All right, and before we take Solomon in, let me ask you this question. Hold on one sec. Let me ask you this, Steve. It says, other cultures who ascribe to the Greek pagan practices have the right to reject it.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Could you say that again?
Okay, it says...
It's kind of breaking up a little.
It says, shouldn't other cultures who ascribe to Greek pagan practices have the right to reject it?
The right to reject it?
Yeah, who don't ascribe to it.
So cultures that subscribe to it should have the right to reject it?
Yes, it says, listen, let me ask you again. It says, I'm getting texts in right now, so I'm reading the texts as they come in. It says, shouldn't other cultures who do not ascribe to the Greeks pagan practices have the right to reject it?
Yeah, oh sure, you can go around rejecting all kinds of things. You can, you know, some people reject meat, some people reject, you know, veganism, some people reject, you know, hanging out with people of a different color, you know, I mean, but in the end, you're just starving yourself of wisdom. You're just, you know, I think that, yeah, anybody can reject something, but
right.
Slamming the door on it doesn't make it false, and it shuts you off from a potential source of enlightenment and knowledge. And especially in this culture, when you know, so much of our language, so many of our customs, so much of our law comes from the Greeks and Romans. Democracy comes from the Greeks. Republicanism comes from the Romans. You know.
Let me pull in the next call, and I'll get you the next.
Go ahead. That was probably a long enough answer.
Okay, let's go. Solomon from Virginia.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, brother. How you doing?
Doing well by yourself. All praise to the Most High, Hashem Messiah. And greetings to the elders and our guests we have on the line. Also, this question goes for Steve. Steve, I was wondering, are you familiar with the Kabbalah?
Yes, I am.
I was wondering, can you explain the similarities that you have with your religion with the Kabbalah practices?
Well, there's a number of things, but mainly the main connection I see is in the astrological planets, the whole art of correspondences. Both the Kabbalah and Wicca and magic in general are based on what's called the art of correspondences, which is the idea that there's an underlying system or pattern to the world, because everything's interconnected. And it interconnects in certain ways. And by using the Kabbalah or by using the astrological planets, you can learn to understand and classify things and understand those patterns and then, work with them to, for spiritual practice to improve your life or to affect change in the world. There's a lot of close connections and a lot of pagans are Kabbalists. There's a lot of the practices in common, and a lot of the old spell books in the Middle Ages and Renaissance were really heavily influenced by Kabbalah.
So you're saying that they have similar practices in paganism?
There's a lot of similarities, yeah. I'd say that mystical Judaism... people that follow the.
We lost Steve there. Let's see if we can get the brothers in.
Yeah.
We just lost Steve.
Let's get him right back. Hello, am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
You're on.
Okay, while we get him on, I'm glad the brother's on. That was a great question. Let's see if we can get Steve back on here.
Hi, I got cut off there.
Okay, great.
I guess the robot didn't like what I was saying. Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, I was just saying that, the mystical Judaism and paganism are very, very close and similar, just like mystical Islam, the Sufi religion is very similar to paganism. And there's a lot of mystical Christianity that's very similar, too. They all believe in that there is one unifying. All of us believe that there's one unifying divine force. It's just that a lot of us think that that's so remote, so far away that why not talk to gods and goddesses that are closer at hand? You know, it's since they're there and they're ready to help and willing too. And they're not the evil that they've been painted as by people that are trying to control, how we practice our spirituality, or have been through the ages. Anyway, that's my, I guess that's my answer to that question.
Yeah, I appreciate your answer, but also I was wondering, like, if things are so universal between different religions, then why is it so diverse?
Well, because people are diverse. I mean, people live in different cultures, different climates. They have different languages, different experiences. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all. It's like expecting everybody to wear a suit, even though they live in the tropics or they live in the Antarctic. You know, it's like everybody expecting everybody to worship a religion that was developed in the desert, you know, when you come from the jungle or when you come from a city and... 20th century America, or 21st now, I guess. It's just it just doesn't, you know, it's just too restrictive, especially, you know, in a universe this vast and diverse. I mean, you know, billions of stars out there, billions of planets, how can there be only, you know, one God to fit all of that? One divine force, unifying them all, sure. But to say that it's this particular God that's the only one, or that particular scripture is the only truth, you know, just that's just to mystical people and people of our kind of spiritual bent, whether they're Sufi or pagan or Kabbalah, that's just too constraining and constrictive, and it just doesn't match up with what we see around us.
Okay. I was wondering, so does the Kabbalah comes from ancient paganism?
It's strongly influenced by it, yeah. Very strongly influenced by Platonism, Plato, who I'm a big fan of. I think the way other people think of Muhammad, I think of Plato. And or the way people think of Buddha, you know, I think of him that way. Only I don't worship him, but I consider him extremely wise, and I read Plato's dialogues quite a bit to gather pagan wisdom. But anyway, yeah, that's where it comes from, and it's strongly influenced by astrology. The old the original Kabbalists used to say that when you died, your spirit would go through each of the spheres of the planets. It'd go through the moon, it'd go through the Mercury, it'd go through Venus, and so on.
Brother Solomon.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to move on to the next caller, yeah?
Stop me when I get going like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's no problem. I definitely appreciate the answer and you addressing the question.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a few people here in the queue. I want to just give everybody a chance to get the questions in. You understand?
Okay, I would like to put this out there before you bring the next person in. What people don't know is that the ancient Hebrews didn't deal with the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah came from Babylon, ancient Babylon, which was the worship of Tammuz, the gods, Astra. So what they did was, what the Khazars did was integrate those pagan beliefs into Judaism. But the ancient Hebrews had nothing to do with the Kabbalah. On top of that...
Well, a lot of scholars trace it to the early Middle Ages, like maybe the 5th or 6th century thereabouts. Yeah, but you're right. It's not an ancient Hebrew. No.
Yeah, yeah. But I want people to know that, because a lot of people out there get it distorted by seeing the Jewish people deal with it and think that it have ancient Jew culture or ancient Jew origin, and it does not. Its origin is Babylonian. You understand?
Yeah,
and
I guess you could say that in the sense of astrology.
Its origin,
yeah.
100%. It's not even open for debate what it is. It's a Babylonian work of magic.
Just Babylonian, though. It was also influenced by ancient Greek philosophy.
Yeah, well, Greek Empire came afterwards. So the same ancient magic was moved, the same way you have your Pope right now, who's a modern-day Roman, who's practicing all his rituals of ancient Babylonian. The Babylonians were ancient pagans.
Well, that's probably a little too reductionist, but a lot of the old rituals do come from there, yeah, or from Egypt, or from, you know, Greece, Rome.
See, I'm talking
magic
before
is
the,
very
the Greek
universal
picked up those practices. Why? Why? Because when the Most High God came out one empire, Satan moves to the next empire with the same program. And that's written up in the book of Daniel. Okay, let's bring in the next the next caller. Hello, Gaja.
Oh, sorry, excuse me, my mic was just on mute then. Okay, let's go to Alvin in California.
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, Alvin.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're in the clear.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I have a couple questions and comments. The first one is, to Brother Sean. I mean, I'm sorry, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
The first, are you familiar with the first of the month, chameleon, community or communion with the church? Is what they do is they drink. It's symbolism for when Christ died, and they would take the bread and they would drink the wine, and they for the churches and the pagan churches nowadays or the Christian church, they do it every month. Now, is that pagan as well? Do you guys follow the same
ritual?
You're
talking about where you take the cup of wine, this is my blood, you take the bread, this is my body, the communion
yes.
or the Eucharist? Is that
yes.
what you mean?
Yes. Is that linked to a pagan ritual?
It is, yeah. It's hard to say, which came first. But, yeah, we have a very similar ritual we call cakes and wine or cakes and ale. And at the end of a ritual, we'll bless some bread or cookies or whatever and dedicate some to the gods, and then we'll bless some wine also, or ale, or if people are really anti-alcoholic, it'll just be juice. But and then we'll pass them around and say, may you never hunger, may you never thirst. And it is very similar.
Okay.
It's hard to say if it's the same thing. I'm not sure anybody could say whether it is or not. But it's a very
okay.
ancient ritual that has to do with,
okay.
Basically okay. thanking the gods for your life and for the
gotcha.
The life that maintains your life.
Okay. I find that, in a sense, ironic because earlier you were stating that most of the witches or pagan worships, they kind of integrated into pagan worship. And it's funny because I was ironically telling my brother about pagan worship and how it kind of snuck into Christianity and different religious cults as well. And it that brought me to, Matthew 24th chapter, Matthew 24:24, when it said that, it arise as a false Christ and the false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders. So, I find that to be ironic that the same people that were hiding into Christianity that was doing worship of witchcraft goes into, Christianity and they start to do healing power. And that's why you see a lot of, church members feeling like they're being healed, but they're really not. The second statement is that...
Why is that so important to you? Why does that matter? I mean, if other people find wisdom in other ways, how does that harm you?
Well, it doesn't harm me. It harms, in the sense of my people, because they're being tricked into believing something that is not.
How can you be so certain they're being tricked? Aren't you imposing kind of an arrogant judgment there? That you think
when
somebody's being tricked and you're not?
Let me say something. I think Elder Ricard wants to say something on that as well. Right? Last week when we asked you, Steve, if you knew the origins of your, if you knew for certain that you weren't worshiping the devil, and you said no, you didn't. So I mean,
I said I do know for certain that I don't, that I'm not worshiping the devil.
No. You said there was no way you had no idea of the origins of your God.
No,
right?
I said it would be arrogant of me to.
There's no way you could say for certain.
And like I know, like a lot of people claim to know, because it's so ancient, it's so old.
Well, that follows in the same thing. If the fact that you have knowledge of your origin. And these people don't. You follow me? The fact that they are taught to believe that this is what God is and this is Jesus Christ, which is a lie, and they worship him because they see him magical healing, and it's not really something that is really being taught from Scripture.
Well,
follow me? So
maybe they have a different
okay.
interpretation of Scripture.
Well,
Gotcha, let me say something. Let me jump in real quick. Let me bring some clarity. I want to bring some clarity to this real quick. First off, the problem comes in the European powers, colonialism, and forcing people into their way of being from the beginning.
Exactly.
So that's the part I want Steve to take with him, to understand that our people had a culture, and we were told something entirely different than the Europeans originally. We wasn't dealing with these different facets and all these gods. Matter of fact, we were punished for doing so, and the ancient scrolls tells us this. Now, the second part I want to say when it comes to this is that what you see with the Roman Catholic Church, when they hold up what they call the Eucharist or the Son, that's not the communion that you read of in the scriptures. So just because other people deal with similar practices or look similar doesn't mean it's the same, because they're holding up a round circle like a little cake, because it was an ancient ritual of the pagans when he holds it up to look like the sun, because they worship the sun. And that practice is nowhere in scripture, all right? So Christ tells us about the communion we must do until he returns. And that's in no relation to what's going on in the Catholic Church and what they call it and the rituals they're doing. The rituals they're doing is ancient pagan rituals. Why? Romans were pagan. And that's not good, bad, or indifferent. That's just what they were. I'm going to explain why we're saying what we're saying here. Okay, we must stand and bring this forth now, because for years our people were influenced against our will, against something that was against us. So the reason we opened this open dialogue is to say, listen, it's okay for pagans to do what they want to do if that's their destiny. But we have to understand that what happened to our people was a direct cause and effect of dealing and dabbling with the gods of the Gentiles that our God told us not to deal with.
Which to me means that your God is a monopolist.
We don't have a monopoly. Brother, we don't have a monopoly. That's why you're continuing to call on your own gods. We have no problem with that. Let me get my point out, because you're coming in certain points and when I'm trying to drive a point home. We don't have a monopoly. We have the right to acknowledge our God as much as you have the right to acknowledge any of the gods you worship. Us acknowledging our God is not changing who you're going to follow once we hang up this phone. So what we're bringing forth is pagans always did this. That's what they do. But our people have a different judgment based on the requirements of our God. Your God have requirements and sacrifices. Our God have requirement and sacrifices. They're different. That's all. And that's okay.
I can accept that. Yeah.
Exactly.
The problem comes when people start to impose one belief on everyone, which is kind of what you were saying earlier,
No, not once did I impose. What I said, brother, is that you have to realize when you get a country, a melting pot, that is made out of every culture on the earth, then some people's culture is going to get watered down from what it was originally. And what we're saying is our slavery and what's written up in ancient records concerning our people would go into slavery is a direct result of us dealing with pagans. It's a direct result of dealing with gods whom the God of the Hebrews said don't deal with in Deuteronomy the 7th chapter, Deuteronomy 32. And all through the Bible, you look at the punishment of the Hebrews for dealing with the pagan gods, like the pagan gods of Egypt. The Lord took them down for the sake of his people, not so his people can run right back to those gods. So I'm not saying that your gods don't exist. I know they exist, Steve.
But you
what
think
we're saying,
evil.
listen, it doesn't matter to you what I think.
Well, no. Well, it does when you pick up a sword and start cutting off my head because I didn't follow Allah or whatever. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it matters when people of one religion start enforcing that religion on everybody else, which has been the cause of a lot of bloodshed down through the ages.
I'm going to tell you right now, all religions are false. And I'm going to say that because the Most High God didn't give man religion. Religion is just hiding the ancient gods that are worshipped. It's more of a PR plan instead of coming straight out and say, this is the gods we really worship. You understand?
Well, it's supposed to be a way of reconnecting you with what the word religion originally means, re-linking, like ligament.
But too often
it ends up cutting people off.
I know you're trying to distract what I'm about to say here. What I'm saying here is that I respect the fact that pagans admit exactly what they're dealing with. Christ says, be the hot or cold. I have nothing against the fact that you are straightforward with what you believe, and I respect that. Our issue is, like I said last week, when you get Christians who are really dealing with paganism, but yet they try to condemn pagans and say that their way is the way.
Well, I agree with that.
When really, our people knew nothing of these gods until, you have to realize, our people, when I say our people, the blacks who served slavery and whatsoever, we received our religion not through, this wasn't a voluntary pickup here. We was forced to follow the pagans and their religion that came over with the Mayflower. You understand? And through that, not through the pagan doctrines that they were teaching with the book, but through this higher spirit, the Most High God allowed us to see through the lies and separate the book from the lies. The book is the book of a people, brother. And what we're telling you is we're the people. We're the children of Israel who have nothing to do with the different gods because we know their origin, regardless of the spin that they try to put out there in the world to make it sound like it's innocent. We know the origin of all gods. We do. The Most High has revealed it to us. And everyone have a conscious choice to deal with the ancient pagan gods or to follow the God of all gods who created the gods that you're worshiping. So what I'm saying to you, Steve, with everything comes in origin. If you're going to believe there's many gods, then you need to start figuring out who is the God that began before them.
Well, there is an origin of all things, and even in science they talk about the Big Bang, a tiny point that was the origin of all 13.7 billion years ago, and we're all still inside it. And if you look far enough out into space, you can see the origin. You can still see that origin. And it encompasses all and surrounds all. And, to me, that's a really good analogy to the God that
but
we
Steve,
call the Vikings.
But Steve, your analogy leads us back to where we started with no understanding of who is that God.
Well, that's not something you can apply. What we're saying, what we pagans say, is that God is not something you can even apply a who to. It isn't a who.
Yes,
it isn't
you can.
It isn't a name. It isn't a...
Yes, yes, you can.
Oh, it doesn't
that's
have...
What, that's what y'all say.
It's not
that's
something
what you
can even
all
write
say,
about.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, the God that created all want to be known and have presented himself from the beginning and is being ignored.
Well, that's
it is
and what
ignored.
We believe is that that's just one particular deity who may have set himself up as claiming to be that God that created all.
I'm
going to
hit you up.
You know,
Steve,
a lot
you know
of,
about
Pan.
Steve,
I'm
listen,
sorry, what?
You know about Pan. You know about Mercury. You know about Zeus. You, let me
right,
tell you,
what
you
I'm talking about, when you talk about what
but
I would call
what
Yahweh, you know, or...
I don't follow that.
It sounds like when you claim the exclusivity, you know, that sounds an awful lot like Yahweh claiming to be the one and only that created all and that everybody else is false.
You're dealing with it again. You're dealing with a diversion. What I'm trying to get straight to the point. I made many points that we're not exclusive because we acknowledge that the gods you're talking about exist.
But you
so
think,
I,
they're,
we don't
you think they're evil. I mean, you think they're...
Listen,
know, they're misguided and often wrong.
Brother,
when
I
I'm saying they're part of that whole
brother,
too.
Brother,
you
I
know,
never said
like,
they were misguided.
Just like you're part of society and you're part of a whole with other people. And if you go around telling everybody, oh, you're wrong, you're impure, you're practicing a false way, then you know, you just set yourself apart as being...
What you're doing, you're doing it again because you're stating things that I've never said. I'm saying that the same way you can come with the understanding of what you believe, we are coming with the understanding of what we know to be true.
But
and that's
what
it.
I'm saying, the difference is that your way is exclusive and my way is inclusive.
Listen, our way is inclusive too.
Well, it's not including my gods. You're saying that my gods are Satan.
It's not including your God, but it's including all people that want to follow the true God.
Protecting them. You know, you're rejecting anything that doesn't fit into your particular.
No, our God told us to reject everything that don't fit into what he told us to do.
Well,
our
the
God
way you interpret him is telling you to do, according to the way somebody else interpreted it that wrote down the scripture.
No.
You know, I mean,
our
we don't
however
say into a single
God,
book.
Our God left records to our forefathers and told us expressly what to do and what not to do. The same way you have different rituals based on ancient records on how to practice with your gods. You have
right,
that.
But we feel free to alter them to fit the spirit. We draw from many sources. We don't only say, it all has to come out of this one book, and that's the only book that's got any truth.
That's you. Our God told us that we can't do that.
Well,
that's the difference.
I feel that that's impoverished and that you're missing out on a lot of spiritual wisdom that way. You know,
well,
that's just my personal opinion. Just like I know your opinion
is,
but we're going to burn in hell.
That's your opinion. All I'm saying is your God have rules. Your gods have rules. Our God have rules.
They're not nearly as rigid.
Okay.
They
that's
have
what
ways
makes,
more than rules.
That's what makes our God different than your gods. Okay,
sorry,
let's
what?
Open up the call.
Yeah.
Come on, let's keep on going.
Okay, we have Yohana Rai from Canada. Let me get him in.
Hey, shalom.
Shalom.
Hi. One second, guys.
Shalom, brothers. How you doing? Good, good. How are you doing?
We all good. All praise to the Most High. I want to bring out... First of all, I'm going to say thanks to the Most High. Thanks to the Gathering
Brother,
Christ Church.
Let's right through it. Let's jump right through it now. We want to make sure you get everything in now.
Okay. I'm going to get it in right now. My question is to Steve. How you doing, Steve?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. Okay, Steve, do you believe in order?
In order?
Order, yes.
O-R-D-E-R?
Yes, order, which means I'll give you an example. Let's use common sense. Do you believe that there's a first, second, and third place?
Well, I believe that originally all was one. It seems to have divided into two, and then it's been all multiplicity ever since.
Okay, so you're not answering my question. Do you believe in order?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand your question. Maybe you could be more specific.
Okay, let me make it specific. You know, we have an order in who created who and then how it went after that. That started somewhere. It had to start with a creator, right? It had to start with one creator. And then, you know, a life came forth and everything started coming forth. Do you believe in that?
Well, I'm not sure that I believe that the creator was separate from the creation. I mean, that's what, you know, I think that a lot of pagans, including myself, would say the creator and the creation were one and continue to be one. That's a kind of a invidious false distinction that we make in our minds that isn't necessarily true. So that's kind of a mystical answer, I guess you'd say, because that's what mystics believe, pantheists too.
Okay. well, that answers pretty much, you know, what you think and your point of view. But as a brother, you know, we're here as brothers trying to share an understanding together. And we're very happy that you brought forth all this information, because you're being very honest and sincere about everything that has to do with the paganism. But us as brothers now, you know, we're trying to tell you that there is an order to follow. And I guess you don't believe in that order. You understand?
I believe in a different order. I mean, I believe in an order that is more of a way that has to do with understanding the patterns of things, how they interconnect, using astrology, using sacred geometry, numerology, art, the art magical, they call it.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Let me go. You're on the right. Thank you for the call. I'm gonna take the next caller. I got Kamar from Atlanta.
Hey. Before we want to bring him in, but I want to ask somebody just sent something to me real quick. Real quick. And if you can answer these quick for me, Steve, because we got a lot of callers. Number one, if you don't, let's see, let me make sure I read it correctly here. One moment. All right. Here it is. Right here. One moment. If you don't do things to please your gods, do you believe that they are could these gods punish you for not doing things correctly according to the order?
No, they don't do that. They
okay. All right, just asking. Yes or no.
No, that's a good question. But no, they don't act that way.
Okay, they don't punish you. Okay, now the next thing. I was told to go down the list real quick and tell me, do you agree with this?
Okay.
All right. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Do you believe that you should follow the Sabbath, which is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown?
I respect that and understand the reasons for it.
I'm asking, do you follow that?
Not exactly. We usually hold our Sabbath on Fridays. That's an old witch tradition.
Okay. The next one. Of course, you agree with thou shalt not kill, which is murder.
Yes.
Thou shalt not commit adultery, which is if you are married, you're not supposed to go out of your relationship for no reason whatsoever.
I wouldn't call it a sin that God will punish, but I think you're asking for a world of hurt if you do it.
I ain't asking your opinion. I'm asking according to the belief of your God. Do your God allow adultery if it's consented between two people?
You mean between three people?
Between four people, whatever. No. Because the scriptures are clear that adultery is not tolerated.
Yeah, I think our God would say that if everybody's consenting, the ones that I'm aware of would say that if everybody's consenting and it's...
Okay.
It stays that way, then it's okay.
I want to go through them. So adultery is open. It depends on whether or not somebody consents. So adultery is out of here. Y'all don't deal with that one. The next one, thou shalt not steal. What about that one?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so when the pagans that came over from Imperial Rome and Europe and came over and stole the land from the North American Indians, do you think that those pagans were following their God correctly?
I think those were Christians who did that, and they were very explicit about being Christians.
Oh, yeah, but they were set up by the Jesuit order. Jesuits are pagans.
Well, they wouldn't say so, and I wouldn't say so either. They're monotheist Christians.
So you're saying that pagans didn't have no hand in coming over and stealing North American Indians' land?
No, in fact, if you look on my website, our website, oldandwild.org, I have a whole article there about Thomas Morton, the pagan, who came over and worked and collaborated with the Indians and, you know, was very friendly to them. And the Christian Puritans persecuted him because of that, because they saw the Indians as evil. They saw the Indians as devil worshippers, and that's why they tried to wipe them out and kill them.
So let me give you a hypothetical then. if someone came into your house, right? Came into your house, raped the people in your house, killed the people in the house, stole the deed to your house, and put you in a basement. And then through time, the people in the house who own the house have children through a few generations, and the people in the basement have a few children after a few generations. Who did that house belong to?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm asking
because, you.
You
know, yeah, they may claim that according to the law and the deed that it belongs to the people that took over the house. But I would say it's, see, now the people in the basement, though, they didn't believe in property ownership. They believed that
well,
it all belonged.
You're doing it again. I'm asking you.
I'm just expanding the parameters of your question.
If the house was stolen and the people were killed, and then the people in the basement, children, their fathers owned the house, whose house it rightfully belong to?
Well, that's what the Israelis and Palestinians are fighting about right now. And
okay, I see what you're doing. Listen,
yeah, no, I would say it belongs to people in the basement.
In
but,
order for you to practice, listen,
it was wrongfully
listen,
stolen from them.
In order for you to practice paganism in America, you are an accomplice to your fathers who stole the land. You can't see that?
I don't agree with that at all.
Of course you don't.
Okay,
so now,
the opposite.
So let's pull the thou shalt not steal out the window. Let's get the next one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do you hold that to be true? That's something that your gods, would that disturb your gods if you start bearing false witness? That means lying on your neighbor.
Yeah, that would definitely offend the gods. Yeah, lying
okay.
is offensive.
All right.
It's,
I'm going through them because I got a few phone calls because I got to get to the next one.
Yeah,
because
I'll try to keep it short.
Okay, this links into thou shalt not steal, and I think you can encompass these together. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, and we know the North American Indians had buffalo, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Do pagans covet what belongs to their neighbors?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, we're going to leave that back to thou shalt not steal analogy I made earlier. Next, Exodus 20 and 18. When you read these laws, a lot of these principles you hold to be true, right? Not all of them. But the Ten Commandments are principal laws of really of the universe on loving thy neighbor as I love thyself.
Right? Yeah, most of them, yeah. Not all of them.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the ones we agree on, right?
Yeah, the ones we agree
the
on,
ones
I think.
We agree on, saith the God of the Hebrews. So he's not a bad God.
Well,
his
assuming
mission,
that's, you know.
Let me say what I'm saying. He's not a bad God. His issue,
there are a lot of different versions of the commandments in the Old Testament, though.
Okay, well, when you give me some of those versions, we can talk about it. But I'm going to talk about this point here.
Okay.
The God of all gods, his issue is that all gods are acknowledged that he created except the God who did the creation. He's the one that set the precedent, but yet other gods are getting credit. And see, the Gentiles, the heathen, have done this.
Well, and see, we don't agree that he created them, that particular God created all the others.
Okay, all right. Well, let me tell you, before it's over, you're going to see him, brother. And I pray that you are the right side of judgment. All right, what's next? Let's bring in another one. Come on, let's do it.
All right, we have Brother Kamar. Brother Kamar.
Shalom, Elder and Brother Gaja.
Hey, hold on, Brother Kamar, one sec. We're down to the last 10 minutes of the normal time. We're going to the overtime in 10 minutes. Everyone on the internet, if you want to follow the show, you need to Skype in now or call in 646-200-4309.
And Tell them, don't forget, the Hebrew and Bible Academy is still wide open. There's a lot of good things coming out that you need to know. So make sure you send your email to gathering1@AOL.com because a lot of information is coming out, and I don't want you brothers and sisters to miss. We're going to put some online, some stuff online, but there's a lot of inside information that you'll need to know. All right, so putting that out there.
Yes, and yes, I don't know. Do you want to mention about the show for next week?
Oh yeah, we want to mention that we're going to go live from Manchester with the old search engine within the studio with Gadja in Manchester. So that old show will be there. What time? What time during the UK time? That'll be 5. That'll be 11 p.m. 11 p.m. in the UK.
11 p.m. UK time.
Which will be what? 6 o'clock our time?
Yeah, 6 o'clock Eastern time, I think it is.
6 o'clock Eastern time. So we're going to move the show back 1 hour so that we can hit the people in Manchester and those that get that radio wave the same time as the international. We got people from Jamaica. You know, we got people from South Korea listening to this show right now. All over the world. And we thank the Most High for the opportunity and for the platform. All praise be to Ahia, the God of all gods.
Okay. Brother Kumar?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, man. Go ahead. Question, comment.
Okay. Here's my question real quick. And Elder Ricard, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I don't want to misquote you. Now, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, how you doing, sir?
Doing okay. Let me just mention real quick, I have a real soft spot for Manchester. We did a book signing of our book, The Goodly Spell Book, Old Spells for Modern Problems, there back in 2006, and we really fell in love with the town. So just want to shout out to Manchester, big fans. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, earlier I think I heard the elder. He asked you, do you think you can call down any dark forces doing a ritual? And you said no, am I correct? Is that what you asked earlier, Elder Ricard?
Yes, that is what I asked.
Okay, and you said no, am I correct, Brother Stephen? Steve?
I should be more precise about that. We're very it's not going to happen.
Okay, but you said no, right? You said no. You just said completely no, right?
As long as you dedicate what you're doing to the gods, it's not going to happen, yeah.
Okay, well,
but
hold on.
I did it.
But you
I did
said no.
People that misuse spirits, or at least I would consider it a misuse.
Okay, well, let me give a second question now. Okay, well, if correct me if I'm wrong, I think last week you said someone put a hex or a curse on you, right?
Yeah, I did, and I'm
okay.
Hold on.
I want to ask you another question. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not evil?
From my point of view, it was, yeah.
Okay. So, therefore, dark forces can be called down in the ritual, right?
Right, but I made two distinctions about it. I said,
okay. Hold on. Then I got my last question because we got to move. I want to move.
Okay.
What does the number 666 mean to you? And your
Wilson
covenant.
Reagan. Six letters in each of his name. That doesn't actually mean anything in paganism, but it's thought to be. I think the best explanation was that it's. That's right. If you add up all of the Roman numerals, I and V and what is it? Then L is 50 and D, M, X, all of those. It all adds up to 666.
Okay. Well, here's my last question. Are you familiar with RFID chips?
RFID chips?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the things they put in stores to keep you from shoplifting?
No, the RFID chip that they're trying to implement to put inside human beings so that they can freely go shop and not use cards and not use what we call money.
I know that there are some people that would probably line up to have
stuff like that implanted in them. I wouldn't be one of them.
Okay.
Came pretty close to cell phones already.
I'm going to yield to Elder Ricard, and that's all of my questions. I just want to say shalom, Elder Ricard, and Brother Gaja. I appreciate you, brothers, and Brother Steve. We appreciate you for coming on and being very open with what you follow. Shalom.
Bless you, brother.
Having me.
And you know what? And I'd like to thank Steve for coming on, too, even before we open up the next line of questions, because I'll tell you, we did invite a pastor on. But when he found out the platform, he immediately declined and didn't come on. So,
I scared him off, right?
Oh, see, but that's telling you something here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that these guys know that the religion of Christianity comes from paganism, and believe it or not, that puts a stalemate on modern-day Christianity. Because how dare you tell someone what they're doing wrong, and yet you are out there dealing in the same rituals with a lot of you knowingly and not telling the people that are in your churches that pagans created Christianity. And I wish a Christian would call. I mean, we just had a Christian on last week. I know one of those people from the Church of Christ are listening right now. Why? Where have you gone, Church of Christ? Where are you? Come on in. If somebody comes and say from the Church of Christ, let them in first. Put them at the top of the list, because we got Steve on the line, a high priest pagan who's going to tell you like it is. You understand? I don't listen. And again, I don't agree with Steve, but at least Steve is truthful with what he believes, and he's not hiding behind something else. He's not hiding behind something else. And you know what? Just like I pulled out a scripture last week, and I think it hit Steve in Acts, where there was a high priest during the time of Paul who said, man, the miracles you're doing, it seems like, you know, they thought that Mercury came down. They thought that one of the gods of the pagans came down. So hopefully some of this information, will open it up enough to say, well, even pagans can look further into it, because I think pagans out there have been deceived, too. You look at what the Christians are doing and believe that that's what the Bible is saying, and therefore claiming that the Bible is incorrect. And yet these people that are teaching are not correct. The Bible is straight when you read it, and you look at the practices of the Christians and say, well, if that's the end result, then I believe the Bible is incorrect. So I'm just putting it out there to just keep it open, read that Bible for what it is, and let the true light come into you. Because, yes, Lucifer do have some light. It tells you in Corinthians that he appears as an angel of light. He got much power and wisdom. But, the God who created Lucifer is whom he desired to be like. So there is some greater light out there. All right, so I'm yielding.
Yeah, we're moving into the last minute and a half of the show. For those of you online, you need to get, if you want to continue with the overtime, there'll be a chance to sign in quickly into the Skype or phone the number 646-240-09. I'm your host, Brother Gaja, dealing with the Search Engine International. We have, again, in the studios with us tonight, Steve Rasmussen, Elder Rakar, and myself, Brother Gaja. And I want to say big up to all the brothers in the background of the studio, Elder Gabar, in the background, and Brother Azariah, you know, working in the background. We're gonna go over into the overtime in approximately 30 seconds. All right, and then after that we'll just bring the next caller in. Yeah, okay. Elder Rakar, anything else you want to add to that? Any okay.
All right. We want to know where that preacher went. That's what we want
to
know.
I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, the brother stayed on this whole time, and you noticed he's a pagan. He didn't run.
Uh-huh.
He gave his time last week, and we said, you know what, let's invite a Christian on. As soon as the Christian found out that a pagan was on and that the pagan had something to say about Christianity, he ran.
So is there a Christian out there who's going to come out here and face this pagan man right here who's saying that you stole his religion?
Yeah, I definitely would confirm that. And that's, yeah, he ran like a thief in the night, I guess.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a hit under the belt right there. So.
Yeah, I apologize. Probably a little over the top. But I do find that often.
I'm going to say this. It's not that there aren't a lot of good Christian people. All right? I was raised a Christian. But I really believe that if people understood the origin of the doctrine of Christianity, they would separate that from what they believe in, and they would just read the Bible, and it would totally separate them from what they grew up learning. The Bible don't speak of none of these things they're teaching of in Christianity, because the Bible, or believe it or not, and I know some people don't accept it, there is strict do or don't. The God of all gods has order and law. He's going to give you rules. You're not going to eat what you want. You're not going to do what you want, because that's what makes you separate than animals. That's what makes you.
The Bible that converted my wife, my high priestess, reading the Bible. That was what converted her to paganism, because she saw what a cruel and vicious God was depicted in the Old Testament, constantly smoting people and slaying them, taking the land from the Canaanites.
Let me make it clear. The Canaanites were supposed to get destroyed. They were horrible.
Ooh, not according to the Canaanites, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but according to the way history is written by the victors, unfortunately.
The God of the Hebrews have rules. The Canaanites wasn't following those rules.
But that's... how could that be the same God who's the all creator and the all knower, if it's also one that's but you broke my rules? Well, he's also
exactly
within the Canaanites too.
There is a God
maybe the rules were actually rules imposed by the Hebrews.
Listen,
and
the Canaanites,
that was their taking their
if
land.
You look
just like
at
the Christians who came over here had their Bible excuse for taking over the Indians' land.
Listen, let's make this clear, because I'm just going to paraphrase. The Canaanites were planning a mass genocide of the children of Israel. So the Canaanites didn't have good in their heart. Okay, the Canaanites were looking to destroy God's people, the children of Abraham. And the Most High said, listen, before they kill and destroy you, they're planning to kill you. You must go out and wipe them out, or they will destroy you. So it wasn't that these Canaanites wasn't just live and let live here. Okay?
There's a lot of other episodes in the Bible. For instance, there's an episode where kids are taunting a prophet for being bald. You know, go up, thou baldy, go up, is the way it is in the King James Bible. And he turns around and has God smite them dead, you know, and all they were doing was teasing a bald prophet, you know. I mean, there's all kinds of episodes like that in the Bible.
Listen,
that
you don't mock the Most High's prophets. There's rules, okay?
But is that justified killing people? I mean, that's...
You obey your mother and your father.
Or will kill your ambassador.
Whether
whether
you agree with it or not, Steve, there's rules. You can't do what you want to do.
I don't put those rules
the Most High and not get destroyed, okay?
Let's get
some more callers in. We're down to the final hour of the overtime. All right, Brother Xavier wanted to come in for a while now with a question. Brother Xavier, you there?
Yo, peace, blessings, shalom, grace. We was pretty much right where I wanted to start off at, and I really wanted to let all the brothers and sisters know that's the reason why we don't deal with other gods. Simply because they don't provide correction. We got a God that provides correction on how to worship, when to worship, and how to do things. Not only a God that provides information on how to worship and controls the way that we operate in society, but also a God that is that controls death and life. And not only death and life, but life after death. So we know exactly what's going to go down, and it's not some folk tales that were created 300 or 200 years ago. Neither was it created a few thousands of years ago. This is from the beginning. So we have the information. So that's why we follow the God that we follow. And if pagans and Wiccans, you know, believe in so many gods, how come they don't believe in the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It's simply because they don't want rules. They don't want, you know, they don't want restrictions. They want to be free to do what they want to do. And then you got some who just kind of come in half and half on it, like, okay, you know, I'm gonna just, you know, all the gods are good, and there are no.
Hold up, Brother Xavier, you have there's some noise coming in from your background. Can you just check that for me? You want to put your question to Brother Stevie, and let's get the next caller in real quick. We're down to the final hour of the overtime.
I can respond real quickly to that, but to us, that looks like a brutal dictatorship, you know, and that's one of the reasons we object to that particular vision of deity that's presented in the Old Testament.
And we know why, because you don't want to be controlled. I understand that, but that wasn't my question. I want to bring in something else. My question was going to be on the basis of positions in today's society. Our studies are showing that the modern day doctors are getting their information. How could I say it? The modern day doctors, well, we're just going to say what it is. Our modern day doctors are pretty much sorcerers or witchcraft artists. They make drugs or potions and they do incantations using Greek and Latin. My question to you is, can you explain what type of sorcery this is, or maybe expound on it, whether it's good or bad? And maybe if you have any ancient understanding on the way physicians practice, you know, their incantations and their, you know, their potions and drugs on the people of today.
I can tell you a little bit about that. Yeah, the symbol, the medical symbol that you see with the staff with the two serpents twined around it, symbol of Asclepius, the god of healing, where we get the word clinic is from the practice of people going to temples of Asclepius, and they would recline on a bed and go to sleep at night in this temple. And if they were sick, they would ask the god for healing or for diagnosis, and the god Asclepius would come to them, and he would maybe touch the afflicted part and heal it, or he would tell them, this is what's wrong with you and this is what you need to do. And even to this day, it's traditional for doctors to swear an oath to Hygieia and Asclepius. Hygieia was like the female kind of counterpart of Asclepius. And
okay.
So that's a brief answer to that.
All right, cool. Let me bring the next caller in. It's Thaddeus from Louisiana.
Yeah, hello. Shalom.
Hello.
Let me say, what he just said was profound, and that was some good understanding going into the pagan attachment to modern-day pharmakia. The Bible called it sorcery. Like in ancient days, you couldn't have certain potions for certain things. That's why there's side effects. You would go, just say if you wanted to go do something against a person, there were certain potions for it. Even in healing, there were certain potions for it. Killing, there were certain potions for it. They would go to the doctor for these potions, and these same potions are being utilized today, and you notice they use ancient Latin and Greek terms. Xavier, great question. Thank you. I want to thank Steve for answering that question. That was profound. I learned something just now. All right.
Shalom, brothers, Elder Ricard and Brother Gajah and Steve.
Bless you,
brother. I'm coming on here, man, and I mean, just to clarify some things, try to get my understanding. I want to ask Steve. I have two questions. I know you said it was. I heard something about Halloween. is a pagan holiday, correct?
Originally it is, yep.
Okay, and in the last radio blog talk show, you said that you worshipped the dead, right?
Well, it's the day of honoring the dead. Yeah,
okay.
Honoring our ancestors and people who've died in the year before. And
okay.
Saying goodbye to them and setting their spirits at rest.
Okay. Oh, and I was curious because I was like, okay, well, if you guys believe that Halloween is set up to honor your dead, what will be the purpose if you believe in reincarnation?
Well, you know, it's sort of like when a friend leaves on a long trip, you know, and you're not going to see him again for years and years and years. You know that. You don't just say, all right, see you later, you know.
Right.
You throw a party for him and say, you know, we're really going to miss you. Thanks for, you know, all that for knowing you so long. And, you know, you want to honor that person before you don't see them again for a very long time. But we do believe that, we will be reunited with our loved ones in future lives or on the other side, you know, in the world.
All right. I mean, you know,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if that was it, I wanted to just get you some callers real fast before we run out of time.
Okay, all right. Brother Gaja, can I just say this one thing, and then I'm trying to make it fast.
Okay.
Steve, I wanted to know, like, okay, because I've been hearing you say, you know, religion, Christians, you agree that they are pagans, right?
I agree that it's based on stolen paganism, quite a bit of it, the practices. Yeah, but fundamentally, the thing that fundamentally separates Christians is...
Okay, well, I was asking because, you know, I mean, if these people are being subliminally worshipped, I mean, worshipping paganism and... you know, doing all these things, why is it so hard to disagree and rebel with what they're dealing with?
Well, because they channel it all into that monopoly of monotheism and saying that, you know, it's okay to worship Jesus on Easter but not the sun god, you know, or they say it's okay to, read the Bible but it's not okay to read a spell book and gather wisdom from that. It's that one way onlyism, you know. That's
okay.
That's only one way.
All right. Well, bless you, brothers. All praises to the Most High, Ohio, in the name of Son Yeshaya. And Elder Rakar, I want to email you to talk about the program, the academy. So thank you. Bless y'all. Thank you for having me on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for calling. Blessed be.
Yeah,
are you all there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, man. Thanks for the call, Carla. Elder Rakar, you want to answer that?
Okay, what was the question again?
He was just inquiring about the academy, I think it was.
Yes, we're only in the second week of the academy. And it's still open, so everyone can come right on in and send an email to gatheringas1, the number one, at AOL.com, and we'll release creation, which was the first lesson that was done on how the earth was created and how the scientists have purposely lied so that people can question the truth of the scriptures. And it's funny how scientists come out and say, well, they don't know what happened 100 billion years ago. And they have no idea how it happened, but know for sure that God didn't do it. So that was the first lesson we did to prove to you, according to biblical archaeology, that the Bible is correct concerning creation. So you can get it, you can actually get that. We can send that email to you, and you can start next week when, ironically, we're going into a lesson this Sunday, the fall of Lucifer. Now check that out, Steve.
Well, you know, Lucifer was originally applied to Venus.
And you are invited to come on in and check out the beginning of the Horned God.
Well,
and his original existence.
I have a different version, I believe.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to bring you down.
Send an email, gatheringas1@AOL.com. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
And, let me bring in Sister Jen Textel. I don't know if I pronounced it correctly. Sister, you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Shalom. My question is for Elder Rukhan. I heard Steve say earlier that if you add up the Roman numerals, you would get 666. And I want to ask if it has any relationship to Revelations 13 and 18.
Well, in a way it does. And see, and that's why our people during the Dark Ages created the English tongue, what you call angel tongue, the angelic sons of Isaac, which are Israelites, to get away from the Roman and the Latin invocation and the beliefs in their number system. Their number system actually links directly to 666. And a lot of people don't even know 666 is said every day. And they have tricked us into this ideology with your media by using the term sex and having sex make you believe that that's a term of reprocreation or what the Bible calls when he told us to be fruitful and multiply and reprocreate. Sex comes from the Greek 666. The S is a 6. The E is a 6, and the X is a 6. So when you say the word sex, you're actually invoking the 666 ideology. And it's unlawful reprocreation. Sex can mean anyone. Homosexuals have sex. Bestiality, you can have sex with an animal. But the Most High didn't give us that. The Most High gave us righteous living. He gave us righteous reprocreation and righteousness coming together in righteousness. So the 666 has certain levels of numbers linking directly to Satan himself from the Greeks and the Romans who worship Satan. All right? Of course, they try to hide it under different ideologies today, but at the end of the day, there's only two forces, the forces of light and the forces of evil. I don't care how they try to spin it into this politically correct way of believing that it's just religion. All right? So, yes.
Do you believe sex is evil?
No, I believe, of course I believe sex is evil.
Oh.
Because sex is just physical pleasure. It has nothing to do with the commitment according to Scripture. Anyone can have sex. But there's no rules with sex. Okay.
But what's wrong with physical pleasure? I mean, as long as you're not hurting anyone.
Well, you are hurting someone because the Most High God told us how we're supposed to deal with that physical pleasure.
But he didn't say why it was wrong, did he? I mean,
yes.
He just told you it was wrong. That's just like saying,
The reason it's wrong, it's wrong because the Most High gave us rules. You cannot have incest. You can't have incest. You can't sleep with your sister or brother, or your father can't come down and sleep with his daughter. Okay, there's rules. You can call it sex, but it's evil.
But that's just like having a law without knowing the reasons for the law. It's just arbitrary.
Okay. I'm going to say it to you again, Steve. You have people out there that have sex with their parents where both of them have pleasure. It's not right.
Well, but
it's
is harmful because you're harming the child's development.
No, listen, I'm talking about there's grown folk out there that's over 18 that sleep with their parents. They have sex with their parents. They're wrong.
Well, but that's a particular form of sex, but you're saying all sex just for pleasure is wrong.
What I'm saying is the word sex is not the reprocreation or coming together in a union of marriage according to Scriptures. According to the Greeks and Romans, they had bathhouses in which they come together, pick up and pay for little boys, have sex with harlots, and all those things.
It's a clash of having pleasure, you know, I mean, but you're saying that's wrong.
Yeah, pedophilia, that's one thing, incest, that's another thing, but you're saying that according to the Bible, all sex is wrong. See, listen, we have a clash of cultures is what we have here. That's why you and I won't agree with this. In your culture, it's sex. In the Hebrews culture, we don't deal with that. We deal with appropriation according to the laws of God.
And we'll never agree on that.
Because that's what the Romans and Greeks gave the world. Not our God.
No, we wouldn't agree on that because we don't see any harm in that. Just because a book tells us that it's wrong doesn't mean...
Let me ask a question. Steve, do you see anything wrong with having sex with animals?
That's different. We're talking about sex purely for pleasure.
But people having pleasure from sleeping with animals, are they not?
I find it disgusting myself.
So there has to be moral rules. You understand me? Steve, let me explain what I'm saying. Right? I'm saying that this is what the brother Xavier said before. Is that why pagans will believe in every other god except the God of the Hebrews, is because the God of the Hebrews comes with rules. It's not a free for all. There's rules here.
That's just accusing us of an absurd extremism. That's not true. We have rules too.
I'm not accusing. I'm saying that.
We have a moral compass called the four cardinal virtues.
No, let me finish. You keep stopping me. Let me finish, right?
Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, let me finish. Right? If you want me to mute your mic, I can just mute it so I can just get the point across, right? What I'm saying is that, as he said before, is that we have rules. We have a culture that we follow. The culture, our power sets out rules for us to follow. Now, that's where the clash is. You understand me? That's where you're not understanding it. Now, you know, pagans or whoever would believe in any other god, right? Except the God of the Hebrews. Like you said before, you know, your wife read the Bible and thought that the God of the Hebrews was evil because you know was killing this and killing that. And it's order. If you break the order, this is what happens. Now, it would appear to me, right? This is the same philosophy that Christians go by. Well, you can do anything that you want to do with no judgment, with no consequence for your action. You understand me? And it brings me back to the question that was sent in to me before. Last week you said you never believe in an afterlife. Then
no, I didn't say that.
Oh, didn't you?
No. I definitely believe in an afterlife. It's just not the same as what Christians believe in.
Okay, but the afterlife that you're talking about, then you tell me there's reincarnation. So
and also the realm between, what we call the Summerlands. Pagans call it the Summerlands. It's the place where you go, or Wiccans do. It's the place where you go between incarnations.
That's a little bit like the Christian heaven, I guess. According to your
We
God.
Call that hell. We call what you just said hell. Just a different name for it. That's all.
that's why we don't truck with the Bible, because it's just a brutal dictatorship. We're more democratic. We allow for a lot of diversity in what kind of afterlife experience people have. But we do have a moral compass, as I was starting to say. It's called the four cardinal virtues.
Well, of course you do, Steve. And if there was a tree of good and evil, you would probably just go and just partake in it.
Well, as a matter of fact, if a serpent was offering me an apple of knowledge, I probably would bite into it. I'd say, go Eve, go women, you know.
Okay, now you know we got to take the next call. Hey, you just made it plain for us right there. Thank you.
Okay, let me get Brother Rion in from Texas.
Hey, Shalom. How y'all doing?
Shalom, brother. I think we're down on time, man. Can you hit it quick so we can just move to the next call? Okay. Yeah?
Hello.
Hello. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to read a scripture and ask a couple of questions real quick.
Okay.
On 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, it says, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Yeshua Christ, by whom all are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So what we're seeing here is that, you know, we see pagans or Wiccans, you know, worship many gods, but, you know, they're not acknowledging that there was one God who created all things, and the same God that created these gods created us as well. And, you know, a lot of people just don't want to keep him in their knowledge, you know what I'm saying? They want to acknowledge, you know, everything else in, you know, in the world besides the Most High Higher. And it says their conscience being weak is defiled in verse 7, and, you know, that weak, defiled conscience, to me, seems to be the kind of person that says there's no absolute, you know what I'm saying, everything's fluid, you know, what you want to believe is reality, you know what I'm saying, somehow what you choose to believe, you know, defines the real world that we live in and everything, you know, and that's a problem, you know what I'm saying, and this whole concept of, you know, reincarnation seems to be a way of avoiding facing the fact that there is a final judgment, you know what I'm saying, so it just seems like a lot of these other, you know, religions or paganism, which is sort of like the New Age religion or whatever, which goes back to the first lie to why Satan in the Garden of Eden, that we shall be as God, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it just seems to be a way to avoid facing the fact that, you know, that we do commit evil. There is good and evil, and that there is going to be a final judgment for our actions, you know what I'm saying, for ignoring the one true God who created all the other, you know, gods, you know, whatever you want to call them, you know what I'm saying? And my other question is, if the spirit of a child does not come into the child until they are 6 months of age, and everything, well, what rules are there that determine which spirit gets the body?
Okay, that's a good question. I think I know that people can invite a good spirit in, a soul. As far as what rules there are, that's something you'd have to ask the gods. I don't know that the answer to that. But I do get the impression there are some agreements that people make before they.
So you're saying pretty much the mother or the parents of the children decide which spirit will come into the body that's forming in them.
So what about
parents who don't do that? Who have, you know, who don't practice that stuff? And how does it happen?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of different things written about that. Some say that it can be just whatever. Well, you know, honestly, I would just be spouting other people's theories if I answered that.
I have one last question. I'm sorry not to interrupt you, but just to save time.
Want to say something about idols, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. People think pagans pray to idols, but we don't pray to an idol. We pray through an idol. It's just a representation.
So you still use idols, though, pretty much.
What's that?
I think a lot of people idolatry is still. Uh-huh.
Well, I think people commit idolatry when they take one book and say all the truth is in there, and I don't have to read any other book. You know, that's turning that book into an idol. It's the thing that's you know, you're mistaking
there's a difference between, you know, learning from a book, you know what I'm saying, learning, you know, wisdom from a book, and then, you know, trying to use that book to channel a spirit, you know what I'm saying, there's a difference. But my last question...
That's what you're doing when you say that all your wisdom comes through the Bible. You know, you're saying that you're using that book as an idol, saying that that thing right there, that literal word is divine, and you're not seeing past it to the spirit within it, you know, which is much more flexible than a way I think you're interpreting that book.
Okay.
So anyway, that's flexible, though.
Sorry,
not,
very.
My very last question is, since the population of the Earth has been increasing throughout the ages, and it seems like it's increasing at a more rapid rate, therefore that would mean that, do you believe that there are a certain amount of spirits for the beginning, or are there new spirits being created to accommodate the new bodies that are being created and everything, or like how does that happen? You know, there with all the spirits that are cavorting around, you know, in the ether or whatever, like, you know, saying like, are they able to keep up with the amount of, you know, babies being created, or are there new spirits being created? How does that work? You know, like I said, what order, you know, constitutes that? How do you keep up with that? Like, how does it all work?
That's a really good question, and I wish I knew the answer to that, because I actually think about that a lot. I think, you know, how the heck does that work? 7 billion people or whatever it is now, does that mean there's been that many spirits throughout time, or are they coming from other galaxies? What's going on that I simply don't know and can't see because, you know, we're confined to these narrow bodies? And, that's a very good question, and I wish I could give you an answer for that. But it's a good thing to ponder.
All right, well, thank you all very much for letting me get on and, you know, ask these questions. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, brother. Shalom. Hey, Gaja. Right.
Yes, sir.
Gaja, who was that brother?
Brother Rion from Texas.
What's his name?
Rion.
Brother Rai?
Rion, R-E-O-N.
R-E-O-N, okay. I would like to speak to him. Okay, he's right on. I mean, I'm sitting there, yeah, the Most High's bad. He's super bad. All right. I would like to say this. The difference, real quick, before you bring in the next caller, the difference in idolatry. See, the Bible defines what idolatry is, and it's not open for outside interpretation, what idolatry is. And Exodus, the 20th chapter, is directly, if you put up an image, bow to that image, and pray through that image, that's idolatry. Nothing else. It's not reading a book. It's not a train of thought. It's not how someone else can perceive it. The Bible defines itself. Idolatry is directly attached to bowing to an image.
Well, if it's just bowing, then that's pretty narrow. I mean, does that mean then
that's what it is?
Well, why wouldn't, when people put up a crucifix and pray to Jesus,
when people put up a crucifix, they're dealing with idolatry.
Would that be idolatry then?
That's idolatry, because a lot of people with these crucifixes, before, when they go by a church, they kiss it, they acknowledge it, a piece of metal, they pray before it, they make sure they have it for good luck. All that's idolatry. That's the Most High created these. He created us greater than the substance that we're praying with.
But what's wrong with having
people,
a symbol to contact him through?
Because
the symbol it represents.
Because our God tells
us, no,
the God, listen, no. The Bible clearly defines the
symbol of the
physical.
Thing.
Listen, physical created substance, and you bow down to, and you deal with any level of prayer through it.
So if I
now,
simply pray,
listen.
But
I'm see,
again, that would apply to
listen,
your use of the name.
Listen,
Most
I'm going to make
you
it,
use
brother,
that to pray through.
Brother,
and it's
brother,
a created
make,
substance.
Brother,
it's
no,
not, a,
no.
not the God himself. It's
you
it's
see,
the name
you
of.
Tend,
it's a
you tend, listen, you tend to ignore when someone is telling you something straight. You tend to ignore it. Listen
no, I just disagree
clear.
Because I've thought about
make
this
it,
quite a bit and studied a lot of
real, certain things are not open for disagreement. If the Bible tells you distinctly, I can read out of the Bible, and it will tell you what idolatry is. And
but
idolatry,
somebody wrote that is the problem I have with the Bible. Somebody wrote that. Even if they were divinely inspired, it was still written by a man and edited by a man.
Even if it was written by man, if you want, listen, even if it was written by man, if you're going to go into a term that's out of the Bible, you must use the Bible example of it. So the whole deal is, we believe the Bible, regardless of what you say, we believe that the definition of idolatry is exactly what the Bible says it is. and it's with physical substance. Why? Because the Most High created us greater than any physical substance, and we can get him to him directly without any physical substance.
Well, but you're using that physical substance even when you use the term Most High. Those are words uttered by your physical mouth. You know, so I'm just saying, how is that any different from a statue that you use as a symbol of the deity? You know, I mean, it's...
Here's the difference in a statue. If I was to put the name the Most High and make some wood to say the Most High, and then I put it on an altar and bow down to it, then that would be an altar. That would be an idol.
I guess what I'm saying to you is that if you mistake that idol for the deity, if you mistake that piece of wood for the god, then yes, that is idolatry. And I think a lot of people commit that with
you're not supposed to be dealing with any worships of wood or stone, period.
Well, but when pagans are praying to an idol, they're not praying to the wood or the stone. They're praying to it as a symbol through which to contact the deity, just as you use a word to contact the deity, just as you use a book.
If that's the case, then don't get no substance anymore. Just use a word in the future.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what? Well, yeah, then by that, yeah, if all that was... I mean,
it's
empty words. Now, I think that when you're using that word, I don't think it's idolatry because it is a means to the deity. It is a means.
No.
You're not worshiping the word itself. And I think that's what the Bible, the definition of idolatry would be. You know,
with any physical substance in worship. That's idolatry, clearly defined. I don't care how you put it.
I mean, you shouldn't have a church. You shouldn't even have a Bible because that's a physical book. You know, I mean, I just don't think it's. I think it's when you mistake the physical or the divine one. You know, it's like when people pledge. I don't know. In America, people pledge allegiance to the flag, and I consider that idolatry because you're supposed.
And bow down to it and put it on an altar and pray to a god through it, that would be idolatry. I don't care if it's the Bible. You can't do that. The Bible clearly tells you can't do that.
Well, bowing, okay, so if I just don't bow down, then it's okay?
Listen, you're not supposed to have any physical medium between you and your god, period.
Then you shouldn't even use his name because that's a physical medium.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get the next call.
Okay, well, see, but you see where that leads. That's the problem I have with the whole
Bible,
definition of idolatry.
The Bible says what idolatry is, so that we don't deal with these levels of ambiguity anymore. Let me read out of the Bible what the Bible says idolatry is. Can you receive that?
Read it exactly as it says it. Yeah.
Let me read it. I'm at Exodus. I'm at Exodus 20.
Exodus 20, okay.
And I'm going to read it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, and a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate them. Now, hold that. Hold on, I got to read one more. That precepts directly to that. I'm in the book of Psalm, 96. One moment. Psalms 96. Let me get it here. And 5. Matter of fact, 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations, that means of the Gentiles, are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So we'll know idolatry by looking at the Gentiles with their idols as part of their worship. Our God, the God of the Hebrews, say, don't do what they're doing. Don't bow down to images. That is idolatry, according to Scripture, not using a name. Okay?
Well, all right. I guess according to that definition, then, yeah, it seems to be just restricted to physical things. But, it seems to me that that would preclude, that would mean that you can't have churches, you can't have synagogues, you can't have mosques.
Well, you can't have churches if they're going to have images of a Jesus or an image and crosses and idolatry. No, you can't have that. Acts 7, and don't forget the original church, there was no temple. They were going house to house. Acts 7 and 48 says, I dwell not in temples made with hands. Those places are not the houses of God. Those are pagan temples.
Well, and we, to us, it's a God that, that makes things so abstract and so difficult for people to connect with that, that I think they end up substituting other things. It just becomes very, to us, the divine is in everything, and why not honor the divinity within wood and stone, too? You're honoring the divinity within it, not just the cold, dead matter.
But
we're animists. We see spirit and life all around us.
We don't think the earth is an evil. Did you say we must acknowledge the divinity in wood and stone?
Did I what?
Did you just say we must honor the divinity in wood and stone?
No, I said, why not? I said, we do.
Why not? Because our God said, don't do it, because he made us greater than those things.
But we, see, the consequence of that is that people start treating wood and stone as just mere objects to be exploited. I mean, that's the roots of this environmental crisis we're in, is people treating
the environmental
Bible to treat the world as just dead and only to look far off to a distant God,
The environment, environmental crisis is because Europeans came into a land and raped it dry and it killed the Most High creation. Now they blamed it on everyone else. That's why we have an environmental crisis. Let me tell you, we're not behind this environmental crisis. The Western world is. The pagans who came over and took land are.
But so is that belief that the earth is fallen, that the earth, that devils came down and inhabited the earth and made it fallen, and that wood and stone are not sacred. That's where
wood
the root
and stone
of
are not sacred. They are not sacred. Wood and stone.
Well. But they come from tree and mountain and living, living beings, which are inhabited, which are part of the all spirit, part of the spirit of all.
Well,
why not?
We're not going to acknowledge the wooden stones of it. It ain't going to happen. Okay.
Well, that's
let's go to the next
problem.
Caller.
Let's move on to another caller, I guess.
We have brother Terry here, and we're down to the final 15 minutes of the show.
All right, how y'all doing tonight? Shalom, Elder. Shalom, Gaja. Gabar. And hello to you too, Steve.
Hello, Mary.
Okay, now you're actually talking about something that I was calling in about. Okay, so you're talking about the wood and stone. Now, when you do a ritual, you're drawing power from the earth. You're drawing power from the trees. You're drawing power from all the elements that are around you. Is that correct?
Yeah, although actually I'd say we're participating in that power. We're kind of like, focusing it. Yeah.
Okay,
and
now
then,
here's
our
my
own
next
bodies.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you also take and you can put spirits within, say, amulets or even within a piece of wood they call a Hollywood. Don't you do those things also?
Well, we do consecrate magical tools, and they do take on a spirit and life of their own. Yeah.
And
okay. Now these are
an old artist.
These are so-called lower spirits, right? Because they could be called that.
Just
I heard you earlier. You said there's a higher spirit that's above all the other spirits. Is that correct?
I said that there was a there is an all creating, all knowing, all beginning to everything that pervades and permeates everything, but it's not divided off. It is just everything that is and ever was.
So here's where I'm going with this, because what I've learned and what I worship is I don't have to go to these little bitty things that the Creator created. He tells me that I can come to Him.
Why not? Why not treat them with their use? You know that's useful
now,
for that. It's good for that.
Now hold on. Okay, these things were created to serve us. Okay.
No,
but
disagree. See, and that's the root of the environmental crisis. Is that biblical belief that all of nature was created to serve man? That's what our arrogance is. You know, that we claim it's all out there just to serve us. No, pagans see it as participatory. We participate with them. You know, we collaborate with.
Those things in the ritual. If you're going to use those things in a ritual, aren't they serving us?
We work with them. You know, it's not a slavery
for
type
our
of
purpose, right? For our purpose. So when we work with them, when you work with them, you work for your purpose, right? Okay. Now, at the same time, you can also take and you can conjure up spirits, like I said, into rocks to wear around your neck as an emblem, to a stick for magic, you know.
There are rituals for that.
I think it's kind of
manipulating the spirit.
Okay,
you should ask him if he wants to go there first.
I'm going to bring this to you. And the Word of God, it talks about the legions. And when this legion came across Christ, and they asked, "Are you coming to torment us right now?" And then at the end of the story, well, Christ cast them into a swine of pigs, and they ran off into the ocean and everything like that. Okay. So the thing is,
and that was rather cruel to the pigs, don't you think?
We get it at, Steve. We don't have to. Our God tells us we do not have to go to the things that He created to serve us, but come to Him.
But nature.
You know what you're doing. With the thing that you're doing, you're serving His creation.
No,
you're going to
His creation. That's not true.
You know? Okay.
No, it's not serving the creation of that God.
The reason I came with this is because I've dealt with Wicca before myself, and so, you know, I'm a end the conversation, you know, because. Hey, you know, Steve, you got your own mind, you got your own opinion and stuff like that. You know, I wish you well, but I wish you would just start having a little bit more broader, open mind. You know, I mean, if you're gonna learn all, if you say you learn it all, learn all of it. Learn about who's the ultimate one, and what He's truly saying. Because if He didn't wrote it in the book that you refuse to acknowledge, then you're not learning everything.
I'm just saying it's not the only book. It doesn't have a monopoly on spirit.
All other books are books written by man, but this particular book was inspired by God.
And that's arrogant. That's arrogant to say that you know the one book that was inspired by God. You know, to say that all others were not, but just this one, to me, that's very selfish.
We lost Brother Terry just then.
Hey, Gaja, let me ask you a question before because I just want to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I understand you seem like a nice guy, Steve, and I'm going to tell you straight up.
Okay, yeah, I'm beginning a little, probably crossing some lines here.
I just want to say this. We have to get out of the lines of this politically correct, offensive, or this thing where it's
you know, where you may say, well, it's arrogant. Listen, if I'm telling you something that's true, even if it's arrogant, it's true.
I say it's not true. And
I'm saying,
so where does that leave us?
So this is, I'm going to give you an example real quick. When you got Meshach and Abednego, the three brothers during the time of the ancient Persians or the ancient Babylonians, they were thrown in an oven, or they was compelled, they were tortured, or you know, people went against them, the pagans went against them, because they didn't acknowledge the God of those ancient worlds. They were ridiculed because they said, listen, this is your culture. You've been doing this for years, but don't try to push this on me. The same thing with the Greeks, who, because our people didn't want to eat pork, they would make a public spectacle of them, and they even killed three sons right before the mother because she said, like, we have rules here. You understand? And I think one of the biggest points of disagreement is a clash of cultures. This have nothing to do, because I can hear what you have to say and be like, well, you're being arrogant because you believe that because of the way you're worshiping your gods. We just have different cultures, Steve. That's all. And we are adamant about our God as you are about what you believe.
But you're doing one more thing. You're claiming it's the only God, and you're claiming you've got
Listen,
a monopoly on the truth.
See,
I'm not
you say
that,
that again. Steve, you say that again, and again, we are not claiming that we have the only God. We acknowledge that all
the only
the gods
true
that,
one, right?
Listen, no, your gods are true, too.
you're right, but you're saying yours is the only,
Listen,
the only good
God,
one, the only one worth worshiping.
Listen, your gods, Steve, are not false gods. They are true gods that have been worshipped throughout since the beginning.
Right,
but
you said earlier you think of them as, you know, that
no.
you believe they're Satan, or they're
no,
of
listen.
Satan.
Yes, I do.
So you're saying that you've got the monopoly on the one good God.
No, why?
All the rest of them are just satanic,
listen,
you know, just evil.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you, Steve, is you chose a different God than our God.
Or
that's what I'm – and listen, we believe – of course, we would be dealing with what you're dealing with if we thought our God was less than your God. Of course, you think your gods are better because that's why you're dealing with them. So
I'm
it's just a class of yeah, – what we're saying is, brother, is that – your God is not like our God. You have a different God. That's all.
I'm saying many. I'm saying that there are many. I believe in many gods as opposed to just following just one. And I believe that you know, the way things operate in nature bear me out. I mean, it takes a diversity to sustain an ecosystem. You can't have just, you know, all one crop. If you have all corn, you know, then it's susceptible to the disease. You got to mix the corn with, you know, with other things too.
Let's deal with the analogy of your corn, just for a second.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of analogies that we can make for that field to grow and do what it needs to do. All right, but
uh-huh.
you want to have one person that owned that farm, that plant that seed, that watch the crop. That do all those things to make sure the crops come to its fullness. What we're saying is this diversity you're saying is true to some degree, but we're saying at the pinnacle of this diversity you're speaking of is a God, and he's the God of the Hebrews. He's the God that delivered us out of Egypt from the hands of the Gentiles. That's
that
difference.
Right there is where we part ways, because to me, the God of the Hebrews is a particular God, not the universal God. As soon as you're talking about a single deity with a single people, then that's not the universal God anymore. That's just a particular one.
Well,
you know,
well,
because it doesn't include
have,
all.
Steve, here's the problem we have.
That's the division, I think, between...
Okay, well, we both established last week that you have no idea what is the origin of the God, of all gods.
No, I said I don't pretend to know, but I believe they probably originated. I mean, you can read a lot of myths, and they all say pretty much the same thing about the origin of the gods. They say that in the beginning it was all one intermixed thing, and then it started to divide into two, you know, maybe spirit versus matter or the heavens versus the earth. They have different ways of expressing it. And then those two fathered and mothered all the rest. And that's something you see in nature also, like when the sun creates light and heat, it's dividing one into two and then into many. You know, it takes helium, divides it into hydrogen. And
you're going off to philosophy, Steve. And again, it leads us back to where we were before. You cannot say for sure what is the original origin of the God. That was established.
And
that's what I said.
But you claim to say based on what a book tells you.
Listen, you still go into the next point. The point is, like I said, you don't know the origin of the beginning, and therefore you can't say that what's coming out of the book is incorrect.
I don't seem to be certain, you know. But no, I do see a lot of truth in the Bible. I do. I do see a lot of truth.
Okay, well, let's stick there then. Let's
agree
there.
For instance, in the beginning, there was the word, you know, the logos is how one of the scriptures begins. And logos in Greek also means order, and you know, like order from chaos.
Hey, let me jump in. We have 3 minutes to go, you know, for the show.
Yeah, we should probably, I guess, should probably start wrapping it up then.
Yeah.
And I do really want to express my gratitude to y'all for having me on here and being willing to talk openly and, you know, debate and discuss all these really fascinating and important points. And I guess we'll both, there will be an archive of the show put up on Blog Talk Radio, right? MP3.
Absolutely.
Good. I'm linking folks to your site from ours. So, you know, they can, you might get some web traffic that way. And I just really appreciate your willingness to sit here with me for 8 hours now and debate these things.
Well, brother, we thank you for coming on, and even though we disagree, we pray that the Most High open Himself and to you on your journey.
So mote it be, and I pray that you'll have blessings as you go along, and we'll continue to, you know, keep talking, keep discussing, and keep listening too, because that's the most important thing.
Well, again, I want to say this because we need you. We need you on speed dial because we're going to get a Christian on him. We're going to have him pop in. So don't forget.
Well,
that.
Maybe if he ever does show up, you know, I can't promise that I'll be available every Wednesday like this. Things are
well, and in the future, it's been a very different type of show. We've never had a show like this, and it's been eye opening on both sides. I'm sure.
Yeah,
but we thank you.
Thank you.
Right? Bless you, brother.
Blessed be.
Staring right at 2080.
Oh, sorry. Yes, this brings us to the end of the show.